if you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Hey, where are the white women at?
I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Now, I think if you check the tape, you'll realize how wrong you are. And I think you'll apologize. And I think you'll say I should send something, and you won't, because you're too wrapped up in yourself.
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
They think that farts are funny, but they're not.
Why don't you burn in hell?
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
Look at there! Look at there! Look at there!
Why the barber cut the customer's ear?
Why?
Because he was blubbering too much.
Maybe next year my English will be good enough. I will tell you a joke. Thank you, American.
What are you talking about?
Isn't that wonderful? It's risque.
And now
we're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. Here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
Finally got accepted for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Johnny Grant called, and I've been accepted.
Okay.
And I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who participated and the people that helped out with that. And even the morning show on the Kevin and Bean show.
You're welcome.
They helped
thank
out
you.
With that as well. Mm-hmm. I want to say thank you, and I'm going to make it up to you. And when I do my anniversary show, I'm going to play my first interview ever on the Rodney and the Rock show, and that's with the Ramones.
But that
I'll be doing
good.
That end of August. Ramones interview, the Sex Pistols, and a few others end of August for my anniversary show. So we'll be getting the Hollywood star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame next year. Mm-hmm. Be 07. That's a good number, isn't it? 07.
Sure.
Anyway, and as you know, K-Rock, you know, is going to do this big party when I get the star on Hollywood Boulevard, Walk of Fame. There's going to be a huge
wherever
party that day. It won't be until next year.
Right.
But one of the bands I want to get to play at the party, I want to be the Donnas. So
won't
we'll see what happens. You never know.
Okay. You hear what my show sounds like now, but as a treat, I'm going to play an interview from back before I was this good.
Back when I was not as polished as I am now.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to do for you. Oh, we haven't heard the date yet. Have they released the calendar of when all the ceremonies are going to be for next year? Because I may need to be at Rodney's Walk of Fame unveiling.
A, I don't know, but we can research it, I'm sure. And B, you have to be there.
Because yeah, I think so.
He loves us, and I think that it's a supportive move on our part.
Sure, absolutely.
So he loves us, right? Do I have that correct?
He loves us.
I got that vibe at the calendar signing.
You did, okay.
That he loved you.
Where he wouldn't look at you or shake your hand.
Oh, right. Yeah, I said, hey, Rodney, and he was right behind me and just walked past like
just kept on walking, right. 1,000-yard stare.
Yep.
Who saw our friend Jimmy Kimmel on the TV last night?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't either.
7-6 here in Seattle is a familiar face. Jimmy Kimmel of the ABC Late Night Show. Jimmy Kimmel Live and a huge football fan.
I love football, and this is the best. This is exciting. And being here, it's snowing. I've never been to a game where it's snowed before. Brett Favre is here. Let me tell you something. John Madden would have loved this if he was alive today.
John is alive.
Oh, he is alive.
Did you not see the game?
Oh, thank God. Okay.
He was very funny. It was great. It was great to see him in the booth. Not so great that he, you know, was in Seattle and didn't call me. But I mean, it was still cool that he was at the game.
Yeah, Bean does get upset if you don't call him and say, "Hey, Bean, I'm in town. Should we go out and do something?" And then he can say, "Absolutely not."
Yeah.
Well, no, of course, I wasn't going to go anywhere. But I mean, it would have been a nice gesture.
What's the ability to turn him down?
Totally.
Well,
that's all.
Just to, you know, hey, I'm in town. I just want to say hi. I just would have been nice. That's all.
What, a phone call from someone who's in town versus someone who's at home means more to you?
Makes a big difference.
Exactly. I got one more clip from Jimmy.
Well, I tell you what, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I enjoy hearing you every weekend.
Who's in the booth? Who are the guys in the booth for the ESPN? You got, of course, you got your Joe Theismann.
Tirico.
And you got Tony Kornheiser.
Mike Tirico.
And Mike Tirico. Those are the three guys. So Jimmy's sitting up there with them.
I really feel like I'm, I shouldn't interrupt. You guys go ahead.
Second and 9 from the 19. This booth is all about interrupting.
Oh, okay.
Go anytime you want. Great.
Hey, just take yourself at home.
See? That's Daryl the game. Daryl Tapp, the third straight play.
Joe, how's your leg?
Thank you for asking, Jimmy Clay. It was 21 years ago, but it's still attached.
Well, I haven't had a chance to ask you about it.
I haven't seen you in 21 years. Yeah, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear.
Did you live here for a while in Seattle?
I did. I lived here for 10 months. It was my first radio job. I was fired almost immediately.
And I think he's held it against Seattle ever since. Every time anyone brings it up, he always mentions that they were the first to fire him. The first in a long string of stations to fire him.
I think he wears that as a badge of courage.
Or honor, or whatever it is you wear.
Honor, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Pride.
See, Lisa, Joe Theismann broke his leg very publicly in a football game 21 years ago.
Yeah, so I didn't remember that.
Jimmy
did
says,
know that.
How's your leg?
Because everyone talked about that crack that you could hear on
years,
TV.
Years,
you can
years.
Still hear it, yeah.
Wow. Exactly. I knew that.
So he's doing okay. That's a good update.
I was happy to hear that he was well, because I wasn't sure. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. This morning, it is Tuesday, the 28th of Blovember. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Kevin Smith is coming into our studios.
Great.
He's always fun.
Love him, yes.
He has a new DVD coming out, an Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder.
Hey. These things go on for 8 hours, don't they?
Yeah, it's just, it's like a question and answer time with him, but he's a really fascinating guy.
Yeah.
So he does this on college campuses, and then they make a DVD out of it, and it's, he's great.
Yeah.
So we love having him in. We're going to have him in the 7 o'clock hour. Also on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Incubus has a new CD out. It's called Light Grenades. Did you dress up? Let me see.
Well, I dressed nice.
That looks nice.
You know, I don't want to be obvious.
It's not a lot of cleavage.
Brandon needs no cleavage from me. Trust me. He gets a lot of cleavage. I'm just going to sparkle with my personality.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That's what Brandon's looking for is personality.
Well, I can't out-boob all the women around him, let's face it. I know my limitations.
You can out-boob him, all the women here.
Well, that's true. I could do that.
You're the only one in the studio, for God's sake.
It was a little chilly this morning.
What's Super Whore wearing, by the way? Is she going for it today?
She goes for it every day.
She's wearing nipple tassels and a leopard thong. That's it.
Okay. That sounds about right.
That's her outfit. That's what we make her wear every day. So it's pretty much business as usual for her. So Brandon and Mike are going to be in the studio, and we'll play some tracks from the new CD that comes out today.
Great.
Give you a little taste of it. It's really good. Can't wait. Miss Double December?
That's what I'm talking about.
Give you a few more details on that as we start our contest to find somebody who will reign all next year, the month of December this year and all next year for Miss Double December.
It's a great little job, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. Because basically you just show up at fun events and hang out. And, you know, we're not trying to make it like it's not, we're not trying to hide anything. I mean, it is pretty pathetic on our part.
But it adds a little something-something to all our events.
That's what I'm saying. It adds a little something-something to my pants, actually.
Gentlemen, start your boners.
So go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and then there's a place where you can submit photos.
Okay.
And send many. Also on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to talk about, I'm not positive, but I think we're going to get to the iPod police today.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Funny.
How many days have we said that?
This has been on the schedule, for a couple
of
weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Every day we put it on the schedule, and then something else comes along and we bump it.
The funny part is you bug him so much to get it done.
Because we have to.
And then he finally does, and then you just bump it.
Funny?
Yeah.
iPods were brand new when we decided to put this feature on the air, and we still haven't been able to play it.
So Psycho Mike goes around, and he finds people who are listening to iPods, and he asks them what they're listening to right at this moment. And then he
seems to almost always be embarrassing.
Then he does the right thing.
Yeah.
Gives them some kind of a ticket. It's fantastic.
But it's funny, you bring up a good point, Lisa, because I'd be willing to guarantee that if people were carrying around a boombox like they did in the 80s, they'd choose very different music than perhaps what they're putting on their iPod that they're listening to in private.
That is a great point.
So we're going to have that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We also have highlights of the Hollywood Christmas Parade.
That's great.
Is that in quotes?
Yeah.
Highlights?
Yeah, it is. You know, the Hollywood Christmas Parade blows on every level.
It's the saddest parade ever.
It is the saddest parade ever. That's true.
Dude, Hollywood's in quotes, parades in quotes. There's so much not happening in that sentence.
But at least there's a lot of high school marching bands. At least they have that going for them. Like every other person, every other entry is a high school marching band.
They do stuff it with teenagers because they can't get any celebrities. That's true.
And there's just nothing. Listen, if you're in a marching band, I admire the fact that you can walk and play. Fantastic. But when you start talking about sound quality, you know, whether it's a CD or a VCR, whatever you listen to music on, your MP3 player, really, this is the lowest form of music.
It's not good, if that's what you're saying.
It's the lowest form of music.
I mean, for one thing, it's impossible to actually mic a band who's marching to right. make it sound good, even if they were the best band ever.
So there's a lot of echo and there's a lot of problems yeah. with bands, and yet that's what you have to sit through over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So I got some highlights of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, and you guys are lucky to have not had to watch it, because it's a whole different process for me to pick out highlights, but to have to sit through every moment of that parade. It's like it's an hour and a half. It feels like 10 hours.
Now, I know George Lopez was the Grand Marshal.
Yes.
And Regis was the honorary Grand Marshal.
Yes.
Were there any other stars as big as those guys in the parade?
You mean as big as them?
Yes.
Would you yeah. say at the same level of stardom?
Yes. Any other names that would impress me in the parade?
Maybe one or two.
Really?
Maybe. The cheerleader from Heroes was on there.
Was she? Oh, yeah. God bless
her. That's nice. Yeah. Okay.
So that's not bad, right?
No, that's
not bad.
Good.
No, that's all right. I'm impressed.
About as big as it gets.
By the way, she's a teenager. That's why. They can get teenagers. That's all they can get.
Yeah, that's true. You're either in a marching band or you're in a TV show, but you have to be a teenager.
Right.
And also coming up this morning, we're going to talk about great Christmas gifts. Bean was starting
to... Rodney should love that parade, by the way. Come to think of it.
Oh, good point.
Why wasn't he there?
Bean was starting to read from the Hammacher Schlimmacher, or whatever the hell it's called.
Hammacher Schlimmer. Right? Hammacher Schlimmer?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Catalog yesterday off the air, and some of the items that they offer are insanely stupid and bad and can't possibly be true.
And some you are mean- amazing.
You mean the circulation-enhancing travel socks? That's the type of item you're talking about? Hey, they do have a wide variety of items in this year's catalog.
There's some kind of an automatic chair that you can watch stars in.
Yes, I saw that, and I thought, if it weren't $2,000, I would buy this for Bean.
$2,000.
You lay in it, and it smoothly rotates 360 degrees so that you can see all the stars you want without moving a muscle.
Because
awesome?
It's so hard, you have to use so many muscles to look around the sky?
Well, if you have to use one muscle, apparently yeah. that's too many.
And at least you can see the stars really well here in Southern California.
So yeah, there's that.
That's perfect. $2,000 for that. Bean also found the one-minute drink chiller.
Now that, I think, is fascinating.
The one-minute drink chiller.
It can't possibly work.
I mean, if you have a bottle of white wine and you show up and it's not cold and they're going to eat, you can just pop it in this thing and a minute later it's cold.
Or at least that's what they'd like you to
believe.
That's what
they say?
That's what they claim, yeah.
I'm saying not possible.
I believe that.
Can of beer, they say it'll cool it down. A bottle of beer, it'll cool it down 90 times faster than the fridge.
Wow.
And yet, what do they use? Liquid nitrogen? No, ice. That's what they use. That's why I say
it's
maybe
magic ice
is cold. Maybe it's not working.
I was going to get that, but I think I'll get the pop-up hot dog cooker instead, which is a toaster that you cook hot dogs and their buns in.
Dude, I've had that for years.
Really? You
yeah.
got one
Seriously?
Of those?
Yeah, it works
Is
well.
That a cool item?
Yeah, you throw in the hot dog, you throw in the bun, you push down
All
the
together.
Thing, pop it right up, there you go, you're ready to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
They have some neat stuff.
I think mine's called the hot dogger or some kind of creative name like that.
That's
of course,
so
are you kidding? And also today, don't forget, we're still giving away tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 shows, which are a week from Saturday and a week from Sunday. And we're doing it with songs right now. All the Things That I Have Done by The Killers is the name of the song you're listening for. When you hear that, be caller 20, and you will win tickets inside 9 number 2 for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. We'll take a quick break and come back with our showbiz beat next, 551.
Someone has to take that catalog away from Lisa May.
I'm putting it down.
I'll turn it over.
There's
a glass that holds a whole bottle of wine.
Isn't
this is hysterical.
That's called a bottle of wine, Lisa.
I know.
It's a glass. It's a wine glass that holds a bottle. That's hysterical.
But if you already have glass in a bottle, why do you need to pour it all into a glass? Listen. It's already in glass.
Wait, let me tell you,
you
why.
You mean wine in a bottle?
It's a glass that holds an entire bottle of wine. The reason is, then you can honestly say, I only had one glass of wine.
See, it's a comedy. It's a gag gift.
Ba-dum-bum.
It's a gag gift.
Hey, I didn't write it. I'm just
but
reading it.
But you said it out loud.
Well, you did, yeah.
Matt, yeah, you're still to blame.
Lisa needs a timeout. It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes, we are giving away tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. I'm sorry, I forgot. What song are we listening for right now?
We are listening for All These Things That I Have Done by The Killers.
That's why I forgot. That's a bad title. Okay, that's coming up when you hear Be Caller 20 and win your tickets from K-Rock. It's Tuesday morning. Ralph's here with the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock have filed for divorce.
Oh, my God.
Well, they gave it a good try,
if
a good
those
run.
Those kids can make it work. Who can, really? They've been legally married since August 3rd. So let me do a quick little math here.
Of
August,
this year? Of 2006.
August, September, October, November. 3.5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that before you break up, you usually start thinking about it for a month and a half or two.
Yeah.
How many weddings did they have? Three?
Three
four?
Weddings, yeah. First was in Saint-Tropez in July. That didn't take, that wasn't legal. And then the last one was the legal marriage in Beverly Hills.
Maybe each wedding was only good for a month.
Oh, they should have been married like 100 times. Yeah, apparently, according to the New York Post, the final straw in their marriage...
The only straw.
No. The tipping point for them, really, was when Kid Rock saw a screening of Borat.
You're not serious.
And didn't like it. I am deadly serious.
And didn't like it.
No. He said that he thought Pamela humiliated herself by doing the movie where she appears with Borat because he falls in love with her.
Are you kidding me?
And that was it. He couldn't take it. Couldn't see bear seeing her humiliate herself.
So he split up with her?
Well, look, it depends on who you ask. They both filed yesterday.
The
only difference was they had different dates of separation in terms of when they believe the marriage had dissolved. So who knows?
I wanted to ask you about that, Ralph. Why were they racing each other to get the paperwork filed? I understand Kid Rock's attorney was waiting outside the courthouse when it opened, for God's sakes, trying to get in there first.
I don't know. I don't know what the upside would be.
Well, I think if you file first, people assume you're breaking up with the other person.
I guess. But if it's not contested and it's irreconcilable differences, as both are claiming.
Yeah. You didn't like my performance in Borat? That's what she said to him. And he said,
I think it's the best project she's been involved with in years.
Me too.
I do too.
Maybe her whole career.
She made the right decision.
Yes.
And as Psycho Mike will tell you from all the times he's seen the film, she's held up as nothing but a goddess in this movie.
Yeah. Looks great. Dotson's VIP if she had something this popular, in my opinion. Apparently on her website, Pamela wrote just the following. Divorce? Yes, it's true. Unfortunately impossible. Which I don't even know what
that means. Exactly.
I guess she means the marriage was unfortunately impossible to go on with.
Well, they gave it a good try. I mean, if you don't like a movie someone's in, you pretty much have to break up with them.
That's a deal.
Yeah, that is the rule.
Yeah. Right.
And she had that miscarriage, so she's not good breeding stock.
Oh,
right. How good is she?
God.
And look at her statement. She can't even write in complete sentences.
Right. She has eight, seven words to write about the whole marriage.
I'm sure he can write in complete sentences.
Bob can write. Didn't Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock break up and get together and break up and get together?
They were engaged once before. They had a relationship before this, yes. So there you go. Here's the funny part, though. Great article in a magazine called Tango this month. That
I get that, yeah.
No, it's not about Tango the Dance. It's a entertainment news and comedy magazine called Tango. And what they did is they put together a matchmaker and an odds maker. This woman named Rachel Greenwald, who's the author of Find a Husband After 35, and an odds maker from Bodog.com, to assess the celebrity marriages and give them their chances of staying together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this was just published this month before this news came out. Pam and Kid Rock were the long shot at 20-1 odds.
Meaning how about that? The odds were against them staying together?
Yeah, against them staying together.
Well, they were right on with that.
They were right on. I wish I'd have laid some money down on that. They said any couple that has wedding ceremonies in Beverly Hills, Detroit, and Nashville is focused on making a statement in the public, not creating a lasting union.
Yeah.
Here are the odds on some of the other celebrity marriages. Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow are even money at 1-1 to stay together. They have the best odds of sticking around.
Yeah, they seem good.
Guy Ritchie and Madonna are 4-1. Good shot they're going to stick around, they claim.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban are 7-3. Because he's got addiction problems and their stepchildren involved stuff. Always hard on a marriage.
Right.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, 7-3 also. Johnny Depp and Vanessa Paradis, 7-3 also. Ashton Kutcher, 13-7. They think they have a longer shot of making it.
Okay.
Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, 4-1. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, 19-4.
Wow.
They think they're going to break up any time now. And the longest shot, even longer than Pam and Kid Rock, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. Well, because 30-1 odds. 30-1 odds.
They will split up. It's just a matter of when. He generally sticks around for 10 years.
Yeah, well. As long as he can hold on to her is the
answer. Their opinion about this marriage is compatibility is what happens when two people are alone. When the cameras stop rolling, what are these two going to have in common? So
him.
Yeah.
I heard he loves Katie.
Yeah.
He's not gay.
I heard that, too.
You should go see his new movie.
That's what I hear.
I've heard. Yeah. Speaking of engaged, Mark Burnett, guru of reality television like Survivor and Big Brother and those type of shows, he got engaged over the weekend to Roma Downey. the actress from Touched by an Angel.
They've been together
a
while,
long
right?
time.
Yeah, they have. But they're finally, he's going to finally make an honest woman out of them.
Nice.
Seems like a good couple. I wish them the best.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Federline's going to be on television again.
Oh, yes.
He'll be making an appearance on the new NBC game show One versus 100.
Oh,
please tell me that he's going to be the guy answering the questions.
This Friday night, he'll be there. I don't think he's participating in the game. I think he's just making an appearance.
Making an appearance?
You could be right, Ralph, but my understanding is, yeah, he gives an answer, and then the panel has to decide whether he's right or wrong or something. I think he is.
Excuse me?
That's how the game's played.
I'm pretty sure that's not how that game's played. Is it part a different part of a game, maybe, for them?
Sure. I shouldn't have said anything. I'm not sure. But I think I understood he was going to be part of the game. And I hope, as Kevin does, that we do get to see the breadth of his knowledge.
I'm assuming he'll be a part of the game because it is a game show. I just don't think he's going to be a contestant.
I don't think. I sure hope so.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But
that'd be like me on a game show.
I wonder if it'll be like tic-tac-toe. We'll hear, give an answer, and then the contestant will decide whether he wants to go with Fed's answer or not.
Maybe. You know,
I wonder if it's going to be one of those kind of deals.
Like an ask the audience kind of deal where you get to ask Federline.
You guys know Mark Burnett's internet game that just finished up. Was it Gold Rush or something?
Gold Rush. AOL.
There was an episode of that where Kevin Federline actually rapped the questions to the contestants.
So maybe that's what we have to look forward to.
That would be great as well.
It's so funny because Kevin Federline is absolutely used to One versus 100. That's what usually happens at his shows when he's on stage. According about 100 people in the audience, and usually they're against him.
According to Super Horror, K-Fed's part of the mob.
Oh.
Which I guess is the group
of 100 people on the wall there that that just basically have to try to answer the same questions that the contestants.
Like Ken Jennings was for the first episode, maybe. I got you. Okay.
What?
I don't watch that show.
Yes. Ken Jennings was in the mob?
Yes, he was.
Oh, Ken, how the mighty have fallen. Jeopardy to the 100.
They break up the mob into, you know, like here's 20 nuclear scientists over here, and here's 13 cheerleaders over here, and here's, you know, four ex-U.S. governors. I mean, the whole mob is made up of groups of people like that.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
And here's one Wigga.
Right, exactly.
We have one Wigga in the audience.
Well, Friday night, you say that's going to be? That's
Friday
awesome,
night, right? I say.
Our friend Bob Saget is coming in on Friday morning to talk about it. He's the host of 1 to 100, so maybe we'll hear more about it.
Oh, Bob.
According to the King of Mexico, he gets one question right, and it's about the Mickey Mouse Club.
That makes sense.
How the hell does Dave know what happens already on the show?
Dave DNN. Is psychic. He somehow online finds out the future.
You're watching DNN.
I don't know how.
Dave News Network.
Wasn't that insane?
Yes.
Was that not crazy?
Oh, crazy.
That's crazy. Gwen Stefani is just about to launch her second solo album, The Sweet Escape, which will be out in December. However, she's announced, at least to the London Sun anyway, that she's pretty much done with the solo albums, and she looks forward to going back to No Doubt and singing for them.
Oh.
Which I'd like to see as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little too much yodeling on
less,
her?
Less Lonely Goat Herd. More No Doubt music, I think, is where we're headed.
I certainly hope so.
And today's celebrity birthdays, Paul Schaefer, leader of the Late Night Orchestra with David Letterman. He's 56 years old today. Ed Harris. Is there a better actor working today than Ed Harris?
He's great.
He's pretty good.
You'd be hard-pressed to find one. He's pretty terrific. 55 years old today.
Fairly ridiculous with the fake nose in the Beethoven movie.
I have not seen the trailer for that, but I take your word for it. Judd Nelson, who also looks ridiculous with that nose of his. He's going to take that fake nose off, by the way.
It's not fake at all.
Is there a better actor not working today than Judd Nelson?
47 years old today. Jon Stewart, comedian, talk show host for The Daily Show, turns 40 years old today. And Anna Nicole Smith, who is model? Is that how we know her?
Yeah. I don't know anymore.
She's personality.
She's old guy hanger on trying to steal his money.
She's 38 years old today. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Entertainment Tonight has gone back to the well with the Anna Nicole Smith story.
They're playing more or repeats?
What they've done now, they sent Pat O'Brien down to the Bahamas to talk to them.
Really?
This was on last night. I guess they have some sort of deal with this whore where they get her exclusive story, and no one gives a rat's ass anymore, but they won't give it up because they've got the exclusive.
Right.
So now they send Pat O'Brien down to talk to her at her house in the Bahamas.
Fantastic.
Anna, how you doing these days?
Good.
Here's Anna with her new daughter, Danny Lynn. It's the apple of her eye. And for the next 5 minutes, it's her talking to the kid going, who's a pretty girl?
Oh,
who's
no.
Yes, man.
And it's going on and on. I'm telling you, for like 3 minutes, it's just her cooing to this kid.
Tomorrow, we ask about it. I mean, it went right. That was the it. That was the entire
that
length of the interview.
That was the whole thing.
Her changing the kid's diaper and cooing to it. It was like complete filler. last
but
night on Entertainment Tonight.
But POB, doesn't he need a tumor on the outside of her back or something in order to get his interest? What's he care?
I'm shocked and stunned that there was no medical oddity involved in this story.
That isn't good for you.
She's a medical oddity unto herself.
And tonight he says, I just ask the tough questions.
Yep.
That's what he does.
They show the tease of her saying, are you on drugs? So.
And then she says,
say, no.
Are you on drugs?
Nah, why do you think I'm a big fat pig?
That was your interview with her. I'm sorry. My bad. I get the two confused.
I know nothing about nothing.
Apparently, after he left, he said,
you're so
Oh, did he say it to her?
That's just rude.
Let's back
do it.
My body.
At the end of that, he says, let's do it. Bye.
Call my people.
Let's put Daddy Lynn away and do it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Well, apparently, once you get named the sexiest man alive by people, you can be just late. You don't have to show up on time anymore.
I guess that's the deal, but apparently Kevin Smith will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tim Murphy from Hollywood, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, just picked up tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. He's going to be seeing that band right there called The Killers. He was caller 20. Also on the lineup for night number two, Foo Fighters, Beck, Panic at the Disco, Evanescence, Raconteur, She Wants Revenge, Snow Patrol, Angels and Airwaves, and Gnarls Barkley. We've got more tickets you can win. Get ready, Psycho Mike. You're listening for The Kill by 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh!
This morning I came in, Mike was plotting. He's trying to figure out a way to make out with Jared Leto at Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure he will.
I'm sure.
I just want to rekindle our love.
Kevin Smith coming up. First time for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic, including maybe your favorite sound clip from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, that's right. It is a spicy sausage. Oh.
Please tell me that wasn't a child.
That was a child.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was. That's why people who are parents that listen to this show are somehow
bad.
Yes.
and we met a lot of them at the K-Rock CD signing, by the way, last week. A lot of parents came through with their kids and said, yeah, we listen to you guys every morning. And every one of us said, seriously, they're going to take your kid away. Don't let them listen to this show.
It's also the time of year again for Miss Double December. You can go to the K-Rock website, to Kevin and Bean page.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Since you have Miss Double December for the guys, how about Mr. 12 Inches of Christmas for the girls?
No,
not so much. Not interested in that.
Yeah,
really.
It's not going to work.
At all.
We tried.
Big fans of the TV show Heroes.
Save the cheerleader. She's got great
I haven't looked at it that way, okay?
I didn't realize that's what it was. We got some rave reviews from the guys who went to the Kevin Federline show.
Yes.
This past Wednesday night, House of Blues, Hollywood. Psycho Mike, Omar, and Dave the King of Mexico went and caused quite a ruckus.
Good for you, Psycho Mike. Any Kevin Federline fan deserves to get all over our stupid head.
Omar, I want to go drinking with you.
You did the Lord's work.
Hey, guys, I was at the K-Fed concert, and guess who was there?
Who?
Omar. He was going off, man. Flipping off K-Fed, walking around with a Jack Daniels bottle. Oh, wait a minute. Omar was back at the studio. What?
Nope, not this time. It really was Omar. And I'm so glad that they went, because you can't allow Kevin Federline to go on stage and be treated as a legitimate musical act.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, party people. I just wanted to thank everybody at Kevin and Bean Show and K-Rock for putting together such a great Christmas CD. And, you know, and the calendar. I'm looking through the calendar right now. And that's Cat? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We'll still be thrilled.
Don't really need to hear that ever. Lisa May is famous for saying,
hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
And that's where this call comes from.
Hey, I'm Mel Gibson. I'll be pounding the Jews.
You get a call from one of our favorite people of all time, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? This is Drew Barrymore fan, Dewan. Tell Drew Barrymore I'll say hi to her. I cannot wait to see her two new movies next year. And I want to have a chance to meet her. All right? Later.
Because we talk to her all the time.
All right, we'll pass that along.
When we see her,
sure.
Never, we'll say that to her. Thank you for calling. Lisa gets her share of love, but this guy, I think, is over. I mean, this guy really is over the moon. I think you should really consider dating this guy.
How do I lick a chick like a star?
How do I get my face between her knees? Oh, I'd like to lick her I get down on my knees just to smell her dirty oh. How do you lick a chick like Lisa? Best party!
Is there some sort of Sound of Music revival going on today? What's the deal between that guy and the Gwen Stefani song? What's happening? Is Liesl going to be coming in the 8 o'clock hour?
Well, maybe we can hook that up.
Hey, Ralph, I know you have a great sense of humor, and I wanted to share something with you I found on the web. Unfortunately, I don't have access to my email, but I'm sure the K-Rock listeners would be able to send it to you. It's this guy singing about fries to a Christmas tune. Ding, fries are done. Later.
Yeah, Ralph at KRock.com. He loves that clip.
He does.
He loves nothing more than that. It was actually on The Family Guy not too
ding,
long ago.
Fries it done. Ding, fries it done. Ding, fries it done. Ding, fries it done. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. I work at Burger King making flamboy whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that?
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would do well to cover their ears right about now.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
What do you mean, this noise? You mean I gotta drink this coffee hot?
This job would be great if it wasn't for the customers.
What do you want with me?
Stop a couple of angels from entering and thus negating all existence. I hate it when people need it spelled out for them.
Hello?
I'm Jay. This is my head of life mate, Sam Bob.
Sex is a joke.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
Straight from TJ, I give you Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud.
I'm the Sexy Stud.
Thank you. You're a Hollywood movie professional. In your opinion, is that a real Britney Beaver shot, or is that photoshopped?
Oh, is that what we're going to address right away?
So we're going to start first thing, yeah.
Yeah, get the important stuff out of the way.
I think so, man. I mean, I'm hardly a professional. I'm rarely the guy you go to for the visually interesting.
Well, you're the guy in the room.
That's true. So. Above all of you, I would know. It looks real to me, man.
It does to me,
but
too.
But it's just, we were just talking about, like, that is an unnaturally highly hiked skirt, isn't
but
it?
But she wears really short stuff that's really tight.
Does she?
Yeah, but she also knows her photographers when she gets out
of the car. So did Lindsay Lohan.
I gotta say, man, but she's had two kids. Looks good. Looks
right.
Real good.
But thumbs up. You are pro because you shot for Playboy. You shot the news.
I did, but we intentionally showed it.
But I'm saying you should know what it looks like through a lens. That's all I'm saying.
I know what one looks like even without shooting for Playboy. I've seen one or two, right?
But I mean through a lens.
Through a lens. Yeah, that looks real to me.
All right, that's
totally
real.
The Lindsay Lohan one definitely was real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And interesting. As we were saying during
fire.
The break, why would you... You know she would never do a nude scene in a movie. Why would you just give it up for free like that? And I know that wasn't the intention, but...
How do you know?
You gotta expect, man. Like, if you're gonna wear a short skirt and get into a car and you're always being tagged by paparazzi,
right,
followed,
yeah.
They're gonna see it.
How about a little
underwear?
They're
gonna know what it looks like. We all know what it looks like.
Sure.
Hey, Kevin, have you ever had one paparazzi follow you ever at any time in your career?
No,
yeah, but that's why I always wear underwear. For that very
and longer skirts.
Totally.
Right?
Look at these shorts. Right. They go down to the floor. Sir. Elephant trunk pants.
Do they have to go all the way down to the floor just to cover what's there?
Hardly, sir. Right. I can, you know, fig leaf. And
Kevin Smith is in the studio who has many, many things going on, including, did I understand from Ralph a few minutes ago, not only is the Evening with Kevin Smith 2 Evening Harder out today, but is Clerks 2 also out on DVD? Clerks, is that today?
Both of those are on DVD today, as well as Jeff Anderson made a movie, the guy who plays Randall, made a movie called Now You Know, and that's on DVD today, and it has a Kevin Smith Presents thing on it. So I have three DVDs out today.
Today?
Wow. Out today, but more importantly, for the Los Angeles area.
Okay, wait a minute. More importantly than the fact that you have three DVDs out today.
That is nothing. That's me slacking.
All right.
We're having a signing today at the Secret Stash in Westwood.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
And I love to come here and say that because then a bunch of people show up.
Because you'll be there till tomorrow.
Exactly.
What time's that start?
That starts at 4 o'clock.
4 this afternoon.
4 in Westwood Boulevard. On Westwood Boulevard, right across the street from Chili's.
And if you haven't been to Secret Stash, it is the greatest comic book store in Los Angeles.
It's pretty darn sweet.
It really is.
Speaking of comic book store. Did you see that Golden Apple moved?
To right around the corner from my house.
What's that all about?
Couldn't
just
be more excited.
Closer to you?
Yeah, exactly.
We got to get closer
to
Ralph.
I pay the rent over there. You kidding me?
Hey, don't make me separate you two comic book geeks, by the way. Kevin, I read somewhere recently.
Sir, I don't acknowledge you unless you're in the room. Moving on.
Sorry.
Moving on. If I want to talk to disembodied voices, I'll jump on the internet.
You can do it on the phone, right?
I'm here for real live flesh and blood people.
Tell me what your question is, and I'll ask it.
The senator from New Jersey has the floor.
I know what you're saying, Kevin Smith. If you're going to look at a webcam, it ought to at least be a chick. I understand what you're saying.
Totally. Right? Give me an upskirt shot.
Ask Kevin Smith for me, Kevin. If it's true that he said, F the movies, I just like to make DVDs.
Is it true that you said, F the movies, I just like to make DVDs?
That's an interesting question, Kev.
Thank you.
And one I haven't been asked before. I did say that. I mean, tongue in cheek. I say most things tongue in cheek. And sometimes they get taken out of context. But yeah. I mean, really, when we're making the flick, I'm thinking about the DVD. Because that's the final record, right? That's the
way. I guess so, yeah.
The majority of the audience will see it.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
Any movie. Even Pirates of the Caribbean makes, like, what, 400 million or a billion worldwide?
Yeah.
More people will watch that on DVD from now until the end of time.
That's
or until the next
format. That's why it's good that Ralph was in his DVD that came out. The Two for the Money.
Shut up.
And then the deleted scenes. Remember that?
Woo! Wait till the director's cut. Wait till... No, never mind.
I mock. I've never been in a movie with any of those people, so what the hell.
So when you're shooting, for instance, Clerks 2 in theaters today, you are just...
On video today, sir.
While you're making the movie, you are just banking all sorts of stuff, going, oh, we don't have time for this in the movie, but this will be great for the DVD.
It's great in terms of editing. I mean, it allows you to be a lot more ruthless in the editing room because you're like, well, it's not wasted. Someone will see it. And then we, like, recently, every once in a while, you throw some stuff on the DVD thinking it's not good enough of a flick, and then it's on fire. But I've never known that until you read reaction on the internet. But we had a screening party last month at CineSpace. You guys ever go to CineSpace?
Oh, it's awesome.
No, I don't know where that is. Where's
it's
that?
Phenomenal.
Best dinner and a movie in town.
Yes,
yes, and the great theater.
Where is it?
It's this place that's on Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood,
It's down by, like, Ivar. And,
it's a restaurant, and they also show either brand new films or classic films. They've got
rent it out, too. It's relatively inexpensive.
I did that in Austin, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And
the Alamo Draft House?
Yes, exactly.
Phenomenal.
Anybody else notice that Ralph and Kevin Smith are somehow like twins, where they finish each other's sentences?
We're into the same thing.
We're very much in love.
But anyway, so we had two screening parties, one for the Clerks 2 extras on the DVD and one for Evening Harder. And part of the extras in the Clerks 2 is just deleted material.
Is it more Donkey Show? Is that what it is?
A little more, not even a lot more Donkey Show, but there's like a whole scene of the two guys driving in the car with like a 4 or 5 minute scene that I thought was really funny, just didn't fit into the movie.
Right.
So I knew that one was, you know, I knew it was funny, but I felt like it doesn't fit in the whole scheme of the picture, so it's a great DVD scene. But there was like one joke that I always thought was such a crap joke and cut it out of the movie because I didn't like it. And it played in front of an audience, 250 people, and they went nuts. And I was like, man, if I'd kept it in, another 100 million. First 100 million, maybe.
Sure.
But it was like such a lame joke, like Jay in the prison scene toward the end of the movie, in the jail scene.
Right.
Where he's talking to Dante Moreno, he's interjecting their conversation. He finds out that Dante's slept with Becky, the Rosario Dawson character.
Right.
And he goes, how was she? She looks like she could F a Mormon into monogamy.
That's not funny to me. I wrote that joke and I was like, that's a crap joke. But everyone thought it was funny, and I was like, I should have left it in the movie.
Oh, that's weird. That's got to be a weird thing, because your sensibility is what the movies are all about.
Totally. And
say, how could I be so wrong?
Yeah, I was like, apparently I got to rethink everything. Puts Jersey Girl on the whole new light.
Ask you one more question before we have to take a break. Director Kevin Smith is here as our guest. Any shots of Rosario Dawson changing or anything cool on the DVD that you can steer me toward?
Nothing like the Britney shot, sir. Which is staring me in the face right here. I got to move this away.
You can't not look, right?
It's insane.
Work on that and put it in the next one.
Yeah, I get a lot of that. There's a dude, I get stuff framed over in the valley, and the dude, my wife was dropping something off to get framed, and he was like, hey, I saw the movie. And she was like, right on. He goes, should be more nudity in it. And so she's like, isn't that weird? I was like, yeah, I guess I maybe just didn't know what to say. Maybe he was looking for a conversation starter.
Something to say, yeah.
Something to break the ice.
Hey,
I went
need
in there
more
like
nude boobs.
Yeah, where's the boobs? I went 2 months later and the dude was like, hey, did I ever tell you I saw the movie? I was like, no. He's like, I went with a bunch of friends. One complaint, dude, where's the nudity? And I'm like, has that ever been known for nudity?
What are you, Russ Meyer?
Yeah,
like, but Rosario Dawson in your hands may not be best used. That's all I'm saying.
Probably, yeah. But I don't know that she's willing to. I mean, I think she would drop trow as she did for Oliver Stone and something classy like Alexander. Not a Clerks picture, let alone Clerks 2.
Clerks 2 was classy.
Yeah, I don't know about
the donkey and the fast food restaurant. That's
although
classy.
I think we might have outgrossed that Alexander picture.
Really?
I think you probably did, actually.
Know, should IMDb
I felt that way about Dogma, too. I wanted more Alan Rickman nudity.
That one, he was sheer.
Yeah. We got to take a break. When we come back, by the way, we got a lot of stuff we always like to talk to Kevin Smith about, including an event that Ralph is already in line for, if you can believe it. It's a night with Kevin Smith and Marvel Comics. We'll tell you all about it. It's coming up very, very soon.
Oh, forget about
that. We'll tell you all about it when we come back right after this in the World Famous K-Rock.
Voted People Magazine's Sexiest Man in America the second year in a row. Kevin Smith in the studio with us.
I see that. I see the cover of that latest issue in my bathroom's Mo Lady Reads the Rags.
Right.
Every time I go take a leak, George Clooney and Patrick Dempsey looking up at me.
Staring at
Patrick Dempsey, what happened to that killer nose he used to have?
I know.
I don't know.
Just changed it, man. Do you think he would be, what do they call him, McDreamy on that show? Yeah. I'm looking at you like you watch it. That's
I
so
do
sad.
Watch
do you watch
it?
It?
Totally watch it.
I was profiling. I was just like, okay. Woman in the room, must watch Grey's Anatomy.
We had this discussion.
And it was right. It was the right profile.
I watched the first season of that show. Like, I guess they were mid-season, so that disc came out. It was like 12 episodes or something like that. And I didn't think I would go for that show, but I went for that show.
It's pretty well done.
It is well done.
It is for a chick show.
And also that show made me cry multiple times, not based on the soap opera aspect of it, but there are always these life and death situations in the operating room where I'm like, oh, the fragility of human life. I'm really overcome by that first season. So much so that I refused to watch seasons 2 and 3.
Because it scared you?
Because it'll ruin it?
It sounds stupid. And I am a total pussy. It sounds stupid, but I was like, I would get real broken up watching people die. And there was a dude in that first season, with young kid, and he had some brain tumor thing going on. That dude died.
It does make you realize how inconsequential our lives are when you look at the people who have someone else's life in their hands.
Not really, though.
Every single day.
I'm watching people die on TV. I'm like, I'm alive, so I must be cool.
I do at some points go, it's amazing I'm still here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really winning the race being here.
I get that
from House without all the soap opera aspect.
But I love the acting.
Sir, do you have a question
stories.
For Kevin Smith?
Don't you like being a dude?
Apparently not. He's watching Grey's Anatomy.
Martian of the Penguins. Go ahead.
I watched March of the Penguins the first time the other night with the
kind of heartbreaking,
that
isn't
made,
it?
That made me a little.
You
want to
talk about the fragility of life, man?
Yeah, yes. No kidding.
The odds they overcome.
It's insane.
But why don't they move to where the freaking food is, Kevin? What is that?
I know it's the old Sam Kinnis a bit. Move to where the food is.
That's right.
Why? And, I mean, they
80 miles
give them,
to lunch.
They give them huge props where they're like, they've adapted. It's like, why? Like, don't give them credit for that. Like, go bit south. I guess they're south. Go bit north. That was the whole thing that I was really thrown by. I'm like, all right, they're in the South Pole. Why is it so cold down south?
Are we still talking about the Penguin movie?
It's 7:48 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KRQ. The band Incubus, by the way, Brandon and Mike from the band Incubus are going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. We have a few moments left with our friend Kevin Smith, who actually has the coolest event coming up for Ralph and his people. This is
my
Marvel.
People.
You
make it sound.
You are.
Hey, Michael Richards, come on.
This is Marvel Then and Now, an evening with Stan Lee and Joe Quesada, and it's going to be coming up on Saturday, December 2nd at UCLA at the Ackerman Grand Ballroom. And this is basically you interviewing the guys who created so many of these Marvel comics that we've grown to know and love, like the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and the Spider-Man, right?
I just act as go-between by you know, the guy who created, basically single-handedly created the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Well, not single-handedly, it helped, of course.
Yeah.
That's for all the Kirby enthusiasts out there. Say,
immediately. Jack Kirby fans be coming at you.
Oh, my God.
What about Ditko?
You have no idea.
Bean was right when he said your people, by the way, after that conversation.
So you moderate, basically. You're playing the James Lipton, but without the a-hole factor.
This time, well, I'm bringing major a-hole.
Oh, okay.
This time around, I just moderate. It's Stan, and it's Joe Quesada, who is the editor-in-chief of Marvel right now and has been for years. And Joe is the guy that drew the Daredevil run that I wrote.
Right.
Back when
I was. Is it going to be difficult for you to let other people ask the questions because you have so many?
No, because I'm just going to let those two dudes have at it. Like, I did a thing with Stan Lee not too long ago, and, you know, ask a very small question, get a very long answer.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's, you know,
go out for
and
a
you
meal.
Just want to sit back and listen as a fan, too.
So if you're doing Lipton, though, you got to say, Stan, what's your favorite curse word? You got to throw that at him.
I got candid with Stan at the last one. It was great.
Oh, like, yeah?
When you get Stan to talk about his sex life, it's kind of
nice.
Because nobody asked him that. They're like, what about Spider-Man? Was it fun to create him? I'm like, dude, how much did you get after that?
How much tail?
Hey, Kevin, let me ask you this question, and maybe you've had this conversation with Mr. Lee as well, but as a comic book guy yourself, are there comic books today that you think are anywhere near as good, as imaginative, and as sturdy as the characters we've discussed, like X-Men and Spider-Man? Do you think they're still making them that good?
I mean, honestly, Ralph, maybe you'll back me up. I think the writing's better now than it was then. I mean, what people like Stan Lee did was create the characters and pave the road and create the universe, but what's better about comic books now is the writing is so strong and they could tell multifaceted tales. They don't have to get it done in 6 or 12 pages.
The advantage there is to the audience is different. You know, the average comic book reader now is 30 or something, and they used to be writing for 10-year-olds.
Right.
So they can afford to do more complex things and, you know, deal with more adult issues and stuff.
If the question is, has anyone created a nearly as memorable character in the last 20, 30 years? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, well, unless you count Wolverine. But are the books better now? Yeah, I think so. And the art, too.
The show is Marvel Then and Now, an evening with Stan Lee and Joe Quesada, and it is this Saturday night, December 2nd, at 7 o'clock, UCLA's Ackerman Grand Ballroom. You can get tickets at the UCLA box office or at Ticketmaster.
Right down the street from where? Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. And what's going on there today?
I don't remember. 4 p.m.?
4 p.m. today. Signing, Clerks 2, Evening Harder.
Yes.
Now you know. Me, Jeff Anderson. Trevor Furman, the guy that played Elias in the movie, Jason Mewes, sitting around signing DVDs.
And we didn't get a chance to, are we almost out of time?
We are.
Because we didn't get a chance to talk about Evening Harder, which is the second edition of Kevin's Q&A DVDs.
Did you get a copy of that?
I have not seen one yet.
They haven't given me a copy.
They gave
us. I can't get a copy of their own Christmas CD.
No, really. I think they gave us one of those, and Omar has it to pull the clip and stuff like that. But
I appreciate the little Kevin intro montage has been updated.
It's been updated, right?
I like that.
I went in and I said, put in something about the donkey show.
I like that. I appreciate that.
Hey, you know what? We need to take a break, but Ralph's going to do the showbiz beat. You want to hang out?
I would love
that?
To stick around for the showbiz beat.
Stick around.
Get your unique perspective on that. We'll do that when we get back on.
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat, and Kevin Smith joins us just after 7 o'clock. Great director, actor, and second time in a row, sexiest man alive.
That's right.
Wow. Yes, Kevin Smith has just been named by People Magazine.
That's a twofer.
Yeah, that's coming up, too. What's going on, Ralph?
Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock have called it quits after over 3 grueling months of marriage. They finally just couldn't take another day. Well, you know how it is.
Sure.
That beats even your guys' records, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, three, 4 months.
Like, you were like 5 months the first time, Kevin, and Bean, you were like 6?
The first couple or 3, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, she wrote on her website yesterday just this note to her fans. Divorce, period. Yes, it's true, period. Unfortunately, impossible, period.
Did she post to her website by telegram? That's
apparently. Stop. No longer married. Stop. Can't stay. Stop.
What was that impossible thing?
Unfortunately impossible.
What is that? Is that the whole thing? That's her whole statement.
I guess so.
Wow, that's sharing too much right there.
My favorite part of the story is not the joke that it is that people get divorced after 3 months, but the New York Post says the last straw for Kid Rock in the marriage was when he caught a screening of Borat 2 weeks ago in Beverly Hills.
Because it was the funniest movie ever?
Didn't care for it at all. You know, in the film, Borat falls in love with Pamela and drives across the country to propose to her.
Yeah, you'd hate to have somebody mentioning your girl as the hottest chick in the world for an entire movie.
I like Pamela.
And now, a lot of the movie was filmed without the subject's knowledge. They don't know that they're being made fun of. But Pamela was in on the joke when she filmed her part.
Only her, but not her security.
Not anyone around her in the store.
That was awesome.
But Kid Rock thought she humiliated herself by appearing in the film.
By being funny?
I guess. By being part of something clever and cutting edge.
Yeah, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back?
That was it.
Wow.
She humiliated herself by doing that. He should break out his first CD, by the way, and give that a spin if you want to hear about humiliation.
Yeah, no kidding.
And by the way, we got to see Pam run across the parking lot, too. That was worth the price of admission on its own.
Got to see her with a bag on her. Can't beat that.
Yep.
Pam in a bag.
Mike, remember how funny that was, that scene with Pam Anderson?
Yeah. Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, he hasn't seen it yet.
This has nothing to do with show business, but I like to take a shot at PETA every chance I get.
Okay.
The People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. This has struck me as funny. They sent a threatening letter to a church in Anchorage, Alaska, to complain and, stronger than complain, to actually protest and threaten them about their nativity scene. They have an outdoor nativity scene there in Anchorage.
Right.
And they claim that the animals in the nativity scene were freezing. And it was cruel and heartless for the church to do this. However, all the animals in reality were being played by people in costumes.
So there were no animals used.
No.
There were people freezing.
There were people freezing, so PETA couldn't care less. But the animals, they would have been upset.
Yeah, there's no PETH where they care about humans. It's just the animals.
No, there's no PETH. It's just PETA. So they rescinded that letter. Bad. I had no idea.
If the guy was standing out there naked and freezing to death, no one would say anything. Right. But if he's wearing a goat costume, all of a sudden now you got to write a letter.
Well, if it was a goat, if it was an actual goat, they would have been upset.
Yeah, they didn't know that.
They didn't know it was people. That was the problem.
Since it's humans, they were fine with them being cold.
That's funny.
Well, look, the humans can go inside.
Yeah, but
you're not tying the humans.
Listen, don't publicly reprimand somebody if you have no idea what you're talking
about.
What's
going on.
That's what I think the
point is. No one here is in favor of cruelty to animals, but
of course not.
We just think PETA does a lot of harm to their very good cause.
They go over the top.
I've seen,
by being a-holes.
I've seen cows and stuff standing out in snow. Seems like they're okay with it.
Seem fine.
They got fur coats. They wear fur coats all the time. They're good. Thanks so much. People, though. Forget about it.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. Here's what's available for you in your local store. If you want to pick up a copy of The Ant Bully, it's available today. You can get The Ant Bully.
Is that one of those talking animal cartoons?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's about a kid who gets shrunk down to ant size to be taught a lesson about not to be mean to ants.
That was the only animated movie of 2006 that was not a big hit, as far as I remember correctly. Ralph, this is the only one that failed.
Only made $28 million in its theatrical release.
That's pretty big, isn't it?
Well, not for an entire run. Usually that's a weekend for
not compared to most of these.
Happy Feet did 40 in a weekend.
Yeah, so. True.
Clerks 2 available today on DVD.
Hack.
Excellent film.
That's what I meant.
That's what you meant to say.
Genius.
Did you say hack? Is that what you said?
That's what he said. How dare he?
I did.
He's a fag.
Stop it.
What is wrong with you?
Stop it, Bean.
Love that movie, and Kevin Smith is joining us in a moment.
Speaking of Kevin, An Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder. Also released today. And if you're a fan like I am of the first one, you'll find it very, very entertaining. It's Kevin basically speaking. I think it's London and Toronto this time around. But he does Q&A with his audience, and he holds court and tells stories about the magical world of Hollywood and many other things. It's very entertaining.
He's awesome. He'll stay on that stage till the last person passes out.
Also available today, and this is really cool, Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut. If you're a fan at all of the original Superman films with Christopher Reeve, you might know the story that Richard Donner shot Superman 1 and 2 at the same time. Shot the movies back to back.
Okay.
Halfway through shooting Superman 2, they fired him. This is after the first movie had come out and was a big hit, but he wasn't getting along with the producers, so they canned his ass and brought another director to finish the film.
Right.
So they're giving Richard Donner a chance to go back and show us the film he would have made if he could have made Superman.
Did he shoot the whole thing?
He shot a lot of footage, then Richard Lester came in and finished up.
And then he used Richard's...
He used Richard Donner's footage and the stuff that he shot originally. So this is Donner's footage, plus footage that was left out of the film that he would have included, including a lot of new scenes with Marlon Brando.
Well, that's
Superman's dad. So this is a chance to see the second film as Richard Donner would have envisioned it had he been able to complete the film. So that's kind of a neat idea. Superman Returns, speaking of Superman, also available on DVD today. And there's also a box set, the Ultimate Superman Collector's Edition, which is all 5 Superman films, including Superman Returns, the brand new one, and the 4 that starred Christopher Reeve as well, including The Quest for Peace, which I think it's what killed him.
It was a bad one.
St. Elsewhere, also available on DVD today. The first season of St. Elsewhere. And if you're not familiar with that TV show, before there was House, before there was ER, before there was any of those medical dramas, there was St. Elsewhere on television, which was really quite excellent and still holds
good show,
up.
Yeah.
And Harvey, Mandel. Howie Mandel. Stars in it back when he was
an actor.
He's
the star of a medical drama?
And was really great at it.
He was good.
Great.
And wasn't that also, that was Denzel Washington's big breakthrough too, wasn't
That's right.
Was he in that show? Yeah.
Yes, he was. A lot of people got their breaks on that show. Howie's great. He's a doctor and the nurses come out with suitcases and the medication is in one of the suitcases and he makes the patient pick.
I like it.
That I think number five. Oh, I'm sorry. The penicillin was in number seven.
No, I think you're confused. That's his deal
die?
Or no deal.
Or
show.
No die. That's what him all the time.
Hang on. We're going to call for the baby.
That's right. And Gwen Stefani has said that she is ready to leave her solo career behind, at least for the time being. She's got her second solo album coming out in December called The Sweet Escape. But she told the London Sun tabloid that I don't think I will make another solo album, she said. I can't predict anything, but I don't plan on making another one of these solo dance project records. I definitely feel myself going back to No Doubt after this to do a new album.
Excellent.
So good news for No Doubt fans.
Excellent.
And if you're a fan of Gwen's, you might look forward to the release of this new disc, The Sweet Escape, which, as I mentioned, comes out next month. And we have a little clip of what you can look forward to. Here's Gwen's take on The Lonely Goat Herd.
I'm here with the lonely goat herd. Lay, oh, lay, oh, lay, hee-hoo. You're back with the lonely goat herd. Lay, oh, lay, oh,
low. So you got that.
Gwen's gone bye-bye.
Can't imagine what would make her want to go back to No Doubt.
The guys in No Doubt heard that and go, all right, she'll be back any minute.
Yeah, well, whew, we got our singer back, boys. You're the latest. She's doing Sound of Music.
Listen, I love Gwen.
Look, I do too.
And but I love No Doubt better than I love her solo stuff, that's all.
This is experimental.
Yes.
Yes.
It's yodeling is what it is.
Edelweiss on the next one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jon Stewart. Comedian, talk show host, you know him and love him from The Daily Show over there on Comedy Central, 40 years old today. Judd Nelson from The Breakfast Club. But more importantly, Suddenly Susan, right? That's how we know him. As Brooke Shields' boss on Suddenly Susan.
Oh, that's right.
You never really watch that show.
47 years old today. Paul Schaefer, leader of the band over there on The Letterman Show, is 56 years old today. And Anna Nicole Smith, who was featured just last night on Entertainment Tonight. What are the odds? Entertainment Tonight would do a story on Anna Nicole Smith.
It's a shocker.
Apparently, 100%. Anna Nicole Smith has pictures of Mark Steinis with a goat or something. I don't know how they keep publicizing her, but she was on with Pat O'Brien last night.
You're so fucking hot.
I don't think that was from the interview. Yeah. But they did show her cooing to Danny Lynn for about 4 minutes.
Oh, that must have been good.
That was riveting television.
Good TV.
I recommend it.
Anna, did you have fun with P.O.B.?
Two thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And if I had more thumbs up, it would be more thumbs up.
Okay.
Tonight, asks her if we're on drugs, if she's on drugs tonight.
Really?
On Entertainment Tonight.
Well, that's a shocking question.
That's got to be I haven't seen such tension on television since something that wasn't very tense.
Well said.
Thank you. I'm Ralph Carman.
All right, let's talk about Michael Richards for a minute. He was on with Jesse Jackson as he continues his apology tour to Black America.
And by the way, as remarkable as it is that Kevin has a radio show, seriously, Jesse Jackson, talk about a guy who could barely speak the English language. They give him a radio show.
He's not able to speak. He doesn't make mistakes with the English language because he doesn't know words or can't remember. He's just like Bob Dylan, where you can't understand a word he says
anymore.
I think
he makes up a lot as he goes along.
Could, yeah.
I'd love to see the transcripts.
Well, I got a couple of clips from his radio show, and this is him talking to Michael Richards and trying to have Michael Richards explain why all of white TV is against Blackie. That's what Jesse Jackson's trying to do here.
Did he use the term Blackie, by the way? Or is that just something that you're putting in his mouth?
They're taking that word back, I've heard.
They are?
Yes, they are.
That's not fair. I like it.
Does it occur to you that there's a kind of a move afoot, it seems, to isolate all of this talent? I met last week about 100 black artists. They were producers and writers and actors and actresses, all unemployed, have no place to function. And just maybe that environment is producing a certain indifference or insensitivity.
Okay, so his question is basically, if you're an actor, you're out of work, and you're black, it has to be because the system is against you.
But why would he think that a white Seinfeld actor would have any insight into what it's like to try to get hired as a black writer or producer?
Listen, Jesse Jackson has him on for a reason, and that's to have him answer for all the white people of all time.
Does right. seem maybe a move a foot? A movie foot? What's a movie foot?
So he asked him about the entire industry, and Michael Richards really has no idea what to say.
I haven't been in this environment for 6 years.
And then he goes on, and Jesse tries to re-ask it a different way, and a different way, and a different way, and Michael says, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
By the way, only about 5% of the entire membership of the Screen Actors Guild is ever employed at one given time.
Yeah.
Of which, that 95% that's not working, probably about 20% maybe minorities.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of white actors not working, too. Just
way
a lot
more.
Of actors who aren't working.
Yeah, I know. But in his world, you have to blame everything on racism. It has to be that. So Michael goes on to try and apologize.
I have been trying to get to the source of where that anger comes from.
Can you speed up the way you talk any, Michael?
That's why I'm shattered by it. The way this came through me was like a freight train. And after it was over, when I went to look for them, they had gone. And I've...
Tried
to meet them.
Okay. Good.
Well, did they've been in the news. Can't be that hard.
Yeah. Did he go in the parking lot and go, Black people!
So he was at the comedy club a couple weekends ago, and for folks who didn't hear the story, and was heckled by two black guys in the crowd. And now what Michael Richards is saying is after the act, after he was basically shouted off stage, yeah, I went to look for those guys. That's
right,
what he's saying.
To say he's sorry, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a train. It just comes through him. He didn't know what happened. It came from someplace else. It's not in him.
Maybe
it came from someplace else and just came through him.
Me like a train. Rain, Jerry.
Is he always talking to Jerry?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Jesse had to keep saying, no, it's Jesse.
Who else would talk to him?
So we did a little research. Ralph, tell people where you found this.
This was off of the brand new season 7 box set of Seinfeld. They've released the 7th season on DVD, and if you pick it up, it's got all the episodes from season 7, including, remember the one where George Costanza's fiance, Susan, dies from licking those envelopes
right.
because they bought the cheap ones and the glue was toxic
right.
of
yeah.
the envelopes she was licking.
Right.
And that famous episode, and it's a great season, but on top of that, they've got all the extras. You get all the behind-the-scenes stuff, you get not-seen-before footage, and they have an episode that never aired, a season 7 episode that never aired.
A full episode?
A full episode,
wow,
yeah.
Cool.
And I think, you know, for Richards to say specifically that this came through him like a freight train and he never knew where this came from, I don't think that's a fair assessment, because just from watching this one episode, you sort of get the sense that he's capable of this kind of behavior. George, I can't believe that! All right, I'll be right there!
Jerry, I need to talk to you.
Not now, Kramer! I'm on my way out!
But Jerry, this is very important.
Not now, Kramer! George's fiancée's in the hospital!
You're kidding, what's wrong with her?
Apparently the glue on the envelope she was licking for the invitations to the wedding was toxic! She's dying!
Oh man, that's a bummer.
I have to get down there right away!
But Jerry, wait!
What, Kramer, what?
Have you seen the new people moved in down the hall?
Yeah, what about them?
Jerry, they're
What?
I'm telling you, Jerry. Oh, they're black as night.
Kramer, I really don't think that's appropriate.
But Jerry, they're Oh, I don't like Jerry. They steal from you. In the middle of the night, they come in and they kill you.
Kramer, this is really bothering me.
I'm telling you, Jerry, we've got in the apartment building.
Okay, Kramer, I gotta go.
I'm telling you, Jerry, 50 years ago, we'd hang them upside down and put a fork up their ass.
Man, that ain't right. That is unnecessary.
Should have been able to tell from the reaction of that audience.
Yes.
I can't pull that on stage.
You don't
Come
go
on.
For that.
I'm surprised they didn't air that.
Are you?
Yeah, that seems like the kind of thing they'd put right in that show. All right, let's talk about the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which is always fantastic. They used to, apparently, I've never seen this, but they used to have the biggest stars in Hollywood.
Did they?
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Like Bob Hope, you know, in the day, and They showed like highlights of old Hollywood Christmas parades where they actually had celebrities and people.
Yeah, way before our time. I mean, we're talking about Humphrey Bogart and Betty Davis and Clark Gable and people like that, Lisa, used to actually go down into Hollywood. And I guess the parade has been around since the 20s, I want to say. And it was originally invented to bring business down to Hollywood, bring business down, you know, Christmas shoppers down to that part of town.
Okay.
Now it has turned into just the bad people who can't get on TV or get press any other way. So they want to go publicize their shows, basically. That, horse riding, and high school bands, marching bands. And it's just awful. George Lopez is he's the
Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal, and he introduces you want to really kick things off big, right?
Sure.
This is the beginning of our parade. We are going to blow you out of the water, and then maybe we can put a few of our big things, you know, weak things, in a little while we can hit you again with something big, right? You got to start big, and that's what they do.
Thank you, Regis. 75 years of magic and Hollywood Christmas parade. I'm George Lopez, and I'm privileged to serve as tonight's Grand Marshal. There are lots of magic moments to come, but let's get things started with one of today's hottest singers.
Okay, your guesses. One of today's hottest singers.
I mean,
well, Madonna obviously comes to mind.
Yeah, that was
She's
the first
got
one.
A huge tour
Beyonce.
Going on right
Gwen
now.
Gwen Stefani, Shakira,
Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. Any of those would be good. Mariah Carey.
You know her as the daughter of pro wrestling legend Hulk Hogan on the VH1 hit series Hogan Knows Best. But tonight, she's performing her hit single with my boy Paul Wall, About Us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present Brooke Hogan.
Oh, wow. No.
That's how you start off the Christmas parade. And then they sing their very, very Christmas-themed song, About Us.
Now.
Now, she's lip-syncing, and she's lip-syncing so poorly that I could do the same lip-sync job because I don't really know the words that well. Right. It was like an old karate movie, you know? I mean, it was just like the words and her mouth are in completely different places.
Oh, no.
How much did her daddy have to pay to get her Paul Wall, by the way? Because he can make you a hit. Let's face it, Kevin, you can have a hit with Paul Wall, but she's awful.
She's terrible, yeah, and an even worse lip syncer. And then later in the parade, there was Hulk Hogan and his wife and family in a car, of course. Now, there are bands, there are marching bands in the Hollywood Christmas Parade, and marching band music generally is pretty bad. It's pretty, it's not the way you want to hear your favorite songs.
Right.
But this band is even worse, and I'll tell you why.
You know, this is a strictly volunteer band. Everybody's volunteer to be in this. No one had to audition for a spot here.
Okay.
Oh, no.
First of all bands are voluntary, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't draft you into
no
a band.
Draft. There's no national draft for a band.
You don't get shot if you defect.
And is it a good thing that nobody had to even try out?
I don't know. How does it sound?
Terrible. No musical ability necessary.
Terrible. So they play, and then there's some horses, and then they play, and there's some horses, and then there's another band, and there's some horses, and then there's some bad TV show people that are on the qua, as Bean says. You know, the new show, The Game, three actors and actresses that I've never heard of before in my life. Hmm. And then they have the big Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade type float thing go by, and it's for a spectacular project.
Okay, you know Mom always says to eat your vegetables, right?
Don't eat these.
Well, these are some you're not supposed to eat. Here's everyone's favorite vegetables, Bob the tomato and Larry the cucumber from VeggieTales.
Look at those guys. They're huge. They're entertaining.
Oh, I like the cucumber.
I'll bet you do.
I like the cucumber.
I will bet you do.
I know VeggieTales has their fans. They have hit movies and soundtracks and stuff. It's like a Christian-themed, cartoon for kids or something. But can that be the highlight of the floats? I mean, seriously.
That was the best float, yeah.
VeggieTales.
Yeah.
Who's hosting? Who is that's doing the announcing for
Mark
the parade?
Mark Steinus.
Oh, okay, from E.T.
E.T., okay. And Lou Parker, who I guess used to be a Miss...
I have no
America
idea.
Or something like 10 years ago. I don't
got me there.
I've never heard of her. Here's a little taste of another high school band, and this is why I say high school marching bands in general are bad. Seriously.
Oh, ouch.
Shouldn't like somebody from the Homeland Security be on a roof picking them off? What the hell? My favorite thing, and I've been in this position so many times, and I cover it so poorly, is that they never can hear each other, the Hollywood Christmas Parade.
Yeah.
The people that are announcing, Mark Steinus and Lou Parker, are trying to talk to the people on the float, and the people on the float absolutely cannot hear a word that they're saying.
And by the way, it's so obvious every year that this is a downfall technologically. Why do they keep trying it? Why do they keep doing it every year?
I don't know. But this is the first time it happened in the parade.
And look who's riding here on the float. We've got a lot of folks here from America's Next Top Model, Joni Dodds and Feranda. And with them, Dee Dee Dattigan of the Hollywood Museum. Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee. Happy holidays. How are you, Dee Dee?
Merry Christmas. Dee Dee, can you hear us?
Yeah, she can hear you. That's why she's responding. What's wrong with you, Lou?
What's the Hollywood Museum that she's representing? Know. Who are these people?
The only words I recognized were Hollywood Museum, and they are in the Max Factor building.
Oh, okay.
Is that where the old...
I know where that is.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what it was. And then here's the next float, and I think this is really deep and really brilliant. I'm glad this float was in the parade.
Here we have a float sponsored by the Way to Happiness Foundation International. It celebrates the Way to Happiness booklet written by humanitarian L. Ron Hubbard.
The booklet contains 21 common sense moral values such as set a good example, be worthy of trust, and love and help children.
If that book wasn't out there, how would we know to love children?
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't know, this sounds like it was written by my kids who are 8. They could have written a better book than that.
How much did the Scientology place have to pay to get into this parade, I wonder?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but there was no mention of that word, Scientology.
Yeah.
It was all the humanitarian and all this other kind of stuff.
They clearly needed these sponsors.
So at least by later in the parade, when they finally got to Regis Philbin, they have all of their technical glitches worked out because he's the honorary 75th anniversary Grand Marshal. He's the guy that's, this is their 75th year, and they make a huge deal out about this the whole night.
He's our Diamond Jubilee Grand Marshal, the Emmy-winning co-host of Live with Regis and Kelly.
The one and only Regis Philbin and his lovely wife, Joy. Hi, guys.
Happy holidays.
Regis, thanks for being here with us.
Happy holidays. And I see Joy's there with you as well, Reg.
Can he hear us? Regis, can you hear us?
Reg, do you hear us?
Oh, God. Why can they never get this right?
Listen, it's more difficult than it seems, and Bean and I have been in that position a lot.
But
you're right.
This is their 75th year.
You'd think at this point they would be able to talk to each other.
Oh, my God.
Do you think they have a meeting like we do when our live appearances and remotes go badly? Do you think they have a meeting where they go, all right, 74 years in a row now, people haven't been able to hear that we've tried to interview on the float. But this year, I'm telling you, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Every single time. So then the U.S. Marine Band comes by. Now, that's a marching band. That's the only band.
Great, right?
They're fantastic. That's the only band that should be marching in this parade. Unless you're going to have somebody like USC or UCLA. The high school bands are terrible. They have the cast of My Network Television's Watch Over Me. Never heard of.
No.
Never heard of. They had some more horses, and then some more marching bands, and then some more horses. They actually had David Boreanaz, who maybe was one of the biggest celebrities there.
He would be,
They had Hayden Panettiere. Is that how you say your name?
Mm-hmm. Yes. From Heroes.
And then everyone else you've never heard of. And then they go back out to the car, and they've got all their bugs worked out, and that's good.
And coming up next, the Academy Award-winning actress, recently seen on the shows The L Word and My Name is Earl, Marlee Matlin, and her interpreter, Jack Jason.
Hey, Marlee. Hey, Jack. How are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's great.
No.
Can you hear us? Oh, wait, she's deaf.
I can't hear you.
You can't actually ask that question.
She can't see them because they're at a...
She's blind?
No, I'm saying she's in a car. She's in a car and they're like up in a booth someplace, so she can't read their lips or anything. So they're going, hey, Marlee.
Look,
I can't hear you.
If the people that can hear can't hear you on the parade route, what makes you think the people that are deaf can hear you?
And there are about another 100 bands and 100 horses, and then they ride them, and then they play bands, and then it's bad. And then they get to the end, and they say, oh, what do I see? Oh, is that Santa? Oh, could that be his sleigh? Oh, unbelievable. Here comes Santa. And they wrapped it up, and that was it.
God bless you, Kevin, for
taking
the bullet. Hollywood
Christmas Parade. My God, was it better than ever. 7:57 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
You've heard about it by now. Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock just couldn't make it work. Why? If those crazy kids can't get through marriage.
Didn't they get married 3 times, too?
Yes.
Like 3 months ago.
Saint-Tropez, actually 4 times. Saint-Tropez, Beverly Hills is where they actually got the ceremony done. But then they had weddings in Nashville and Detroit as well.
Just for family or something like that?
Yeah, just so they could hit it.
you know.
Kevin Smith, how long have you been married?
I've been married. I'm coming up on 8 years, sir.
Wow.
That's a golden anniversary in Hollywood.
Yeah, almost, right?
Yeah.
Every day somebody's getting divorced, and I'm like, wow, check me out. But that's I mean, who else would have me? Really, it comes down to that.
That's a good
why
point.
She doesn't leave me, I don't know.
But your wife is hot, too.
She's pretty damn cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't downgrade her from hot
I
to
like
pretty
the undersell,
cute.
Sir. I go for the undersell.
I know, but it's your wife.
I know. She's
well, she's not hot, but she's okay. I give her a spot.
This is why Smith is king of the fanboys, by the way, because he's like a comic book guy and, you know, science fiction, but he's got a smoking hot wife and a movie career and everything else.
Pretty nice.
You're the king.
Not a bad life.
Not bad at all. You've seen the pictures by now on the internet. If you haven't, you should. Britney Spears getting out of a car wearing a skirt.
Amazing.
No underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you can see Paris Hilton in the background. I didn't notice Paris Hilton in the background. Well. Apparently, there was something in the background. But two of them, inseparable these days. Best friends.
Paris Hilton and Britney Spears?
Yep. They spent the entire Thanksgiving weekend together and popped up at a slew of Los Angeles nightclubs, including Hyde, Ledoux, Privilege, several after parties. They were inseparable the entire weekend.
She's going to ruin her credibility.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I mean, the thing is, you leave one, you finally kick one dope out of your life, and you bring another one in,
like
fill
that
slot. She had a goodwill going for her because people don't like the Federline dude, and she boots him. So people are like, right on, she saved herself, and she starts hanging out with this chick.
Yeah, good point.
Britney needs a new PR flack because here's what Elliot Mintz, her PR person, says about the relationship. The two are really forming a bond and becoming like sisters.
That's hot.
He says that Britney looks up to Paris.
That's hot.
And is extremely grateful that Paris has taken her under her wing.
That's hot.
They also claim that Paris stays often at Britney's house in Malibu so the two can spend time together while taking care of Britney's two sons. That sounds like a sitcom episode, doesn't it? Don't you imagine, like, diapers on the kids' heads and everything? Yeah. These two idiots just not being able to do anything?
For those children.
Yeah. While they're drinking in the other room?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the news to real life we want to see,
like,
by the way.
Freebird and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
Because that's another chick I've seen way too much of in that area.
Well, that's now, hot. Hold on. Not every man likes a big beaver.
That's true.
That's hard to argue.
Kevin, I know you hate the wax museum stories. Yeah. Kevin hates wax museums.
I don't hate the stories about them. I just hate the wax museums.
Yeah, well, you're
I went to the one, that one that was used to be down in by Knott's Berry Farm the day that it
the
closed.
The Buena Park one, yeah.
And it was closed. We were too late, and they let us go through, me and my friend Malcolm, by ourselves.
Could you do anything you wanted to because it was closed?
We could have stole Dudley Moore as Arthur if we wanted to.
Yeah, but you want to talk about
those statues.
They did.
I know.
They did. You want to talk about creepy, being in that place by yourself.
Really?
No music.
Yes. Vincent Price are over your shoulder.
One day they'll get enough wax to make one for you, my friend.
Oh, how dare you!
There are not enough churches in the world, sir, to collect the wax that I'm going to jam straight up your chute.
Anyway, Madame Tussauds in wax in London, the wax museum there. A guy who works there apparently is losing his job because after hours, much like Kevin Smith's inclination was,
yes,
he would take photos of himself molesting the statues.
Sure.
And they found photos of him pulling down Kylie Minogue's shorts and kissing her ass.
That's awesome.
For his own personal use,
yes.
Or did he display them on the internet?
No, he took them home. He would molest the statues,
so
take
creepy.
Photos of himself touching them, and then take them home.
That's where's the so harm creepy. There, for
exactly.
God's sake?
Where's the victim? Is that what you're asking?
Come on.
That is one step away from drilling a hole, if you know what I mean.
Which is what I was thinking when you said you were in there after hours.
Reportedly, her ass was shiny, hard, and tasted just like wax, just like Kylie's real ass. So it's a very lifelike statue. And Gwen Stefani has announced that she's ready to leave her solo career behind and go back to No Doubt. She told the London Sun, "I don't think I'll make another solo album. I definitely feel myself going back to No Doubt after this to do a new album with them." Her second solo album, The Sweet Escape, is out in December. And we've been playing a clip all morning that you got to hear to believe.
I'm on a hill with a lonely daughter, lay, oh, lay, oh, lay, hee-hoo. You're back with the girl in daughter, lay, oh, lay, oh, lo.
Do you know what that is?
That's her going bye-bye?
That's the prime example of I'm so wealthy, I'm so famous, F you, I win. I can do whatever I want. I will do the lonely goat herd.
My next single, B-I-N-G-O, Bingo was his name on. With
I'm feeling yummy head to toe. You see me, ain't got no patience, so let's go.
Same song, by the way.
Is it really?
I'm diet drama, wanna spend the night, don't bring pajamas. Yes. Men, there's so much heat beneath these clothes.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same song, actually. It's a different one.
Is that old or new stuff?
It's just
new.
As good.
It's just new. She feels yummy from head to toe.
She is yummy from head to toe.
I agree.
That's hard to argue.
Yeah.
Right now, bananas. Paris Hilton saying, my song wasn't so bad, now was it?
Did you read that story about her getting up to sing her song at a club in Vegas and she vomited on the stage?
What?
I thought that was the audience's job.
No doubt, right? She was apparently, and this I read online, so take it with a grain of salt, but there was a dude who put up a MySpace blog about it because he was sitting next to her, and then it got picked up by the, you know, that IMDb news thing.
Right. Yeah.
So she's at a show, and I think it was a P. Diddy show, I'm not quite sure. And then after he was done, she asked the DJ to spin her record, and she'd been drinking all night.
Oh,
so
man.
She got up on stage, vomited, and then just left the stage.
Performance art.
No hits performance whatsoever.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's true, but I read it.
I hope it's true.
I gotta be.
We make up our mind to believe it or not, whether we want it to be true.
Yeah.
So we're going with yes on that.
Oddly enough, she was wearing underwear that night.
And the Comedy Club here in L.A., where Michael Richards made his stand.
Yeah.
His last stand,
the Afro-Americans, as he calls them.
As he calls them, yeah.
Is now demanding that Michael Richards pay $1 million to charity for every one of the N-words he dropped while on stage.
Oh, dear God.
Does he have that much money?
No.
He's got to have big syndication money from Seinfeld,
right? How many times did he say?
Six. He said it's six times. They are saying
his comedy club is demanding
Laugh Factory is demanding he pay $6 million to a charity. An African-American charity.
I give it up to the Laugh Factory. That is the way to keep your name in the press.
Exactly.
By making an outrageous demand like that.
He has no obligation to honor whatsoever.
Exactly.
But how do we get our name back into this story again? No one's talking about us. The Laugh Factory demands, sir, that you pay $6 million to black people.
You don't want to cross the Laugh Factory.
No,
ever.
You do not.
That is something you don't want to do.
Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Schaefer, band leader, musician from The Letterman Show, 56 years old today. Ed Harris, 55 years old today. We're saying Ed Harris today. One of the best actors working, Ed Harris?
Yeah, I like Ed Harris. He's in Affleck. Affleck directed that movie Gone Baby Gone. He's
oh,
in
really?
That picture. Yeah, so Affleck directed him. I said, what's it like? He's going, he's a genius.
Yeah. Judd Nelson, another genius from The Breakfast Club and Suddenly Susan.
And Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was in that, yeah. 47 years old today. Jon Stewart, host of The Daily Show over there on Comedy Central, turns 40 today. And Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh. How old?
38 years old today, Anna Nicole.
38?
That's good. So good for 38. Well, she's had a lot of work.
She hasn't looked good the last 10 years.
Well, a little. We'll ask Pat O'Brien tonight.
Is she on Pat
again.
O'Brien tonight?
ET tonight has another interview with her, yeah.
The
second series of interviews.
Is she talking about her son or something like that?
That was the first one with Mark Steinis. Now with Pat, she's talking about her new baby and whether she does drugs or not.
Here's a clip.
I don't think that's a clip.
So f***ing hot. F***ing get your ass. I want to f***ing make you crazy. If you get this message, just look at me and say yes. Just do it.
Who did he leave that message to?
This woman
Some
in a
chick
bar.
He was in a bar with. He was at a bar with his girlfriend and this
yes.
other woman.
Right.
So he couldn't talk to her in front of his girlfriend, so he'd go into the men's room and call her cell phone.
Why did he want to kick her ass? I don't understand.
Apparently she really pissed him off.
I don't think
not
it was
a real
kick.
Great. Come on.
I don't think it was kick.
Really?
It was just kiss.
Something that rhymes with
oh. Yes. Yes. Wow. And then he was saying, we could do a three-way thing, but my girlfriend gets a little
jealous.
Touchy about
yeah.
that, so you got to kind of pay some attention to her.
When are these people going to learn, man? You give up the right to be creepy and weird the moment you're a little high profile.
That's
raise your
right.
profile a little bit.
Straighten up and fly right.
Can't
A-hole.
Be that person, man. Totally.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Mike and Brandon from the band Incubus are here. Light Grenades, the new CD in stores today. Good morning, guys. Welcome to the Kevin and John Show. Good to see you again.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. Great to see you.
I started the applause just now.
I wondered if this day would come. It
we
seems
were
like
do
it's been
it.
Yeah, we
been
almost,
a long time.
Almost didn't make it. I got lost.
Is that right here to the studio?
Yeah, I was at a gas station and this girl comes up to me and goes, aren't you supposed to be on K-Rock?
Seriously?
I like that our fans are out there making sure you get where you're supposed to be.
Her name was Sam. She was really cute. And I was like, okay, I'll say hi to you on the radio. Where's K-Rock? Oh, it's over there.
Where's K-Rock?
She was cute. She's from Whittier, so say hi to Sam from Whittier.
Hey, Sam from Whittier. Thanks for getting our guests here.
Well, okay. Hey, let me start with a complaint, because that's how to make an interview good, is to find a strongly worded letter. Ever since your Animali song came out, and it's been a couple of months now, we've been playing it here on K-Rock, every single day, guys, and maybe you know where this is headed, we get a complaint email from a listener who says,
it's the best song you've ever heard?
That's where it's at.
Yes. First they say that. And then they say, why are the K-Rock DJs so stupid that they can't pronounce the word anomaly? What is wrong with you people? Are you retarded? Why can't you read? And they go on and on and on. And we write back very patiently to every single one of them. The song is called Anomaly. It's not Anomaly. But wow, has it been torture ever since we started playing.
Bean, you've never written back to anyone patiently.
We do that. We do
all
that on
strongly
purpose.
Worded letters.
Yeah.
Just to fry DJs.
We do that on purpose. We like to make people think.
Excellent.
Sure. Anomaly, an unusual name for a song, and I figure there's got to be a story behind why that's the girl's name.
She's a fictitious character, and her name is Anomaly. She is an anomaly.
And
that's the best way to sum it up.
The video is a little scary. I mean, basically, describe the video for the... I mean, it's...
There's this girl who my dog, Bruce, finds...
Stop that. Your dog Bruce finds?
Yeah, Bruce is my dog. He makes a cameo in the front of the video.
That's your real dog in the video?
Yeah. He's a highly, highly paid, sought-after dog actor.
He has an agent now.
Oh, yes. That's ugly. Wow.
He's being a little bitch to me.
He's kind of starting
the food I'm giving him. And
it's
kind of starting to screw up the band, too. It's kind of eclipsing.
Oh, that's sad.
He's like wedging himself in between you guys.
right. Causing a rift. Now, he finds this girl, and we think she's dead, and she's laying in the park, and she looks dead, and the coroners come and pick her up and everything. And meanwhile, this band Incubus is playing in her mind.
So they cut back and forth, and then you see like a little sign of life. Maybe your finger moves, maybe a little tear coming out of her eye, and you go, wait a minute, she's not dead.
Exactly.
Best like looking corpse ever, too. By the way.
Is there multiple endings?
There are quite a few. We couldn't decide on how to actually sum up the video, so there's multiple endings.
I liked the ending that I saw, which was...
Don't say it.
Yes.
Which is where the, I can say it, right? Yeah. Where the guy comes with the drill.
He's going to drill
the audience. He's going to drill her head off.
Because that's how they do it.
And I'm yelling, she's alive! Don't do that! And then she reaches up and grabs his hand and throws him to the ground and steps on his neck and kills him. That's not the end of it.
There's an ending where the drill comes towards her face and then it just cuts and it's like, oh, we don't know what happens.
Nice.
See, I like that ending. Yeah. I think that ending's cooler.
The director liked the other ending better too.
The one that I like. The one that we have is kind of wonk wonk wonk.
I told you so.
So the actress, her job was just to lay as still as possible all day,
every day
while you were shooting it.
She was such a good sport too. She actually, the place we filmed it was a working morgue in Long Beach.
I bet it was cold.
Yeah, and she actually laid on the embalming table, and she went into the tray, and
there were dead people there
around her. Yeah,
nice.
And they told us
too,
like if a body comes in, like if you know, like a John Doe comes in, you have to stop filming for an hour, and then you can come back once we
really.
Yeah, it was pretty.
They don't let you use it.
Wow.
Sue you?
Like that'd be a great shot.
No, and it was actually even more eerie than that. It was you had to stop for 15 minutes.
Oh, it wasn't an hour?
While they put the body in and then left.
And 15, they Febreze around a little bit and then it's cool.
Febreze.
I've heard
a little shot of Febreze, you're good to go.
It takes a lot of talent. Not everybody can lay perfectly still and not have their eyelids flutter and stuff.
Yeah, my wife can, I'll tell you that. Hey, I want to tell you.
All right, we need to take a break, but the guys are here. We want to talk about the new CD, which comes out like Grenades, and we have a song we're going to play next called Dig. What do we need to know about that?
Sweet. Best song ever?
Best song ever.
Oh, okay.
it's really sweet, actually. Brandon wrote the lyrics to that song about us, about his band.
Mm-hmm. I really did. Why
makes
you make me cry?
Yeah,
it makes you cry?
It's emotional for us.
It's the song that makes the band cry when we come back on K-Rock. Brandon and Mike are here from the band, and we're talking about Light Grenades. Yes.
That song doesn't suck, by the way, you guys. Way to go.
Thank you.
Is that a compliment?
I think it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a compliment.
Okay, good.
Incubus, by the way, is going to be playing night number one of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. You're on the bill with 30 Seconds to Mars, Wolf Mother, who I don't know if you've seen or not, but they're awesome, Seosin, Papa Roach, Plus 44, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, AFI, and a little group called Foo Fighters.
Yes, we love
Foo Fighters. They're awesome, too. Yeah, they're playing both nights, actually. This year. Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys, because it must be fun, even though you've been together as a band for a long time now, it must still feel like such a luxury that you were able to take some actual real lifetime off and not have to work for a while after the last album and tour.
We needed it. We needed to do it really bad.
That's actually kind of the purpose of my existence is to
take time off?
Is to not work. Ever.
How long did you guys tour before you stopped?
Pretty much almost like 10 years straight.
It was about 10 years.
I'm not joking. I mean, we took breaks for a few months at a time to make records.
Right.
But that usually went pretty quickly. And
we never had do nothing time.
Wow.
There was never a time.
How do you even know what to do when you finally stop?
We were in the zone.
We knew what to do.
At the beginning of that time, does it feel like after a day or two, like you should be doing something just because your system had been going that fast?
It was really weird because
you got to build a life in a way.
Yeah, my life had completely fallen apart at home. And I hadn't unpacked my bag in so long that there was stuff at the bottom of it that I didn't remember having to burn.
There was stuff in it. There was stuff in it that you had forgotten about so long ago that you got arrested for it in an airport.
That's the problem. You get you just start to accumulate things from on the road, and then you forget, and then you go to jail.
Yeah, and that's good or bad?
It's good in retrospect because there's lessons to be learned. But I won't go to jail for the same thing again. That's for sure.
It'd be really funny if it happened again.
Yes, it would. Was there? By the way, Mike, you ought to know. If somebody comes up to the airport and says, hey, just take this on the plane with you, you just say no, okay? We've all learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Was there anything that, Brandon, I'm sure you probably worked on your photography or your art or your books or your poetry or whatever. Yeah. But, was there something you were really excited to do, snowboarding, or just something fun that you just never had time for because you were always working?
I have been surfing more in the past 2 years than I have since I was a teenager.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fun.
So I'm better now than I was as a teenager. Riding bikes, walking my dog, running in the sand, building sandcastles.
Wow.
When you guys said goodbye after whatever that last show was, the last day of work, did you have a plan? Okay, I'll meet you back here in 2 years. Was it just left open-ended?
No,
hey, give me a call sometime.
It was literally the first time in our career that we actually said we're just not going to plan anything. And that was kind of what it was. It was the open-endedness. Even if we ended up, meeting up 2 weeks later to work on a song or something, which probably was what would end up happening. But
who buckled first? Who said?
It would probably have been me. I mean, I'm always constantly working on music anyway. So
So
it was more just about the idea of not having to do anything and not having any plans or schedules or anything. Because it was the year. It was the beginning of 2005, and 2004 was...
Wasn't the last show the K-Rock show with the police?
Yeah, and we put out a record called Curl After the Murder. That was the craziest year of our lives by far, and so we were kind of finished with that, and it was like, you know what? We don't have to do anything right now. Let's just take a little break and get our heads together, and so that was what we did.
We were talking during the song, during Dig, about how there are so many different sounds on this CD. I was listening to it yesterday, and I just thought, this song that I'm listening to now is completely different than the song I listened to, the last one, the last track.
Yeah, we will probably never, ever make two songs or two records that sound like each other. It's just
you
not,
do that on purpose.
It's not, no, it's just we just do what musically we just do things that interest us, and whether or not they interest anybody else is kind of inconsequential.
You can't control that.
You hope, but
we just kind of we get some people criticize us for it, and some people love the fact that all of our records are just kind of scatterbrained and all over the place.
Right.
But that's just how we know how to put songs together.
How does it feel now that you worked on the CD and it's finished and it's coming out and you had taken the year off? Does it feel like you're raring to go? Is it kind of hard to get back in the mode?
I think that we all feel kind of like we've got to start over again.
From the beginning.
Yeah, because, having that year to really step away from the whole project, and we didn't really do anything Incubus related for a really long time. And by the time we got in to write more music together, we were all like chomping at the bit. We were I have so many ideas. Check this out. And we wrote a ton of songs.
How many songs?
We wrote 22 songs, and we recorded. That's a lot for us. Some bands write 30 songs,
right,
all the time. But
some only write 10, and they use those 10.
That's what we've always done.
Yeah, and we put everything into those 10 or 12, and that's the record. This time we wrote 22. We recorded 17 of them, and then we just picked out of the bunch what we thought were the best ones, and made an album out of it.
Yeah, looking forward to playing the new stuff.
Yeah,
definitely.
Very much so.
We have some clips from Light Brigades, Kevin. I don't know if we have time to listen to some
of those.
Light
Brigades?
I like Light Brigades. That's dope.
That's kind of a better name.
Would you guys mind changing it?
No, that's what it should be if we ever do the Disney
pirate version.
here's a song called A Kiss to Send Us Off. Oh,
little bit.
You're right. Very different from Dig. Very different from Anna Molly. You're right about that.
Yeah. Very different from a song called Love Hurts.
It's a medley.
I love
the hit meter just went crazy in here.
Do we have a hit meter?
I guess
this is,
so.
This is K-Rock. Oh, I mean, you guys are a beacon of a hit meter.
We're a beacon of the hit meter.
I think that one was in the red a little bit, guys. I think that one was so hit-bound that it actually peaked the needle.
Here's one called Oil and Water. Little taste of that.
Have you guys ever experienced writer's block in your career?
Yes, absolutely.
you have a secret of getting through it?
No, actually.
Just try not to panic.
I have no idea how to get out of that. It just kind of happens or it doesn't.
It's just wait.
Have you had songs that you thought were unbelievably great, but you were unable to figure out a way to finish it? Like,
that's happened.
And you can't use what you thought was...
That's happened before.
We almost didn't finish a couple songs that are on the record because of that very thing.
Really?
Yeah, and then there are other songs that start off as like, this is kind of interesting, I'll see where it goes, and then those ones end up turning out amazing.
Right.
For us, the way that we write music is... It's most of the time, you know, like I'll start off with a bunch of music and then Brandon and I will get together. And if I can tell if Brandon reacts to it really quickly, that it's going to be something that happens sort of effortlessly. And most of the time, those are the best songs that we've written happen that way.
Is it like you're playing poker and you're watching Brandon for any kind of a tell whether he's excited about it or not?
I can tell immediately.
But I wear sunglasses at all times.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm trying to fool him. Yeah.
I can tell immediately if he's into something because he'll write, you know, lyrics and melodies and stuff. Like he'll write it, you know, within a matter of minutes sometimes.
Have you had stuff that you love that he doesn't respond to, and you go, how can you not like this? What's going on?
Of course that happens, but the same happens, you know, vice versa.
Reverse,
like he'll get really excited about something, and I'll go, it's okay.
And then you don't like the song about yachts? Come on.
We'll just mope for a little while. But it's cool. It's just that's what the creative process is. But when it works, there's fireworks.
Brandon, are you the guy that drew the hand with the teeth and the tongue?
No, I didn't.
That's effed up in a special way.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. That's weird.
Is this the cover? Where are you seeing this?
No, this is on the first page of the booklet. It's the artwork for the song Quicksand, which is the first song on the record. Alan Aldridge is a
oh, he was great on MASH.
No, that's Alan Alda. That's a different guy.
I'm sorry. Different guy. My bad.
Different guy.
No, he did all these. We gave him the lyrics to the music like months ago before, you know, we'd even finished recording the stuff. And he still, by the way, hasn't gotten a CD.
Nice.
he hasn't heard a shred of music, and he drew all those pictures to just the lyrics and the imagery.
No kidding,
like,
just
lyrics.
Reading it.
Oh, that's cool.
And he came up with like the coolest stuff we've ever had, I think.
Yeah, he's a pretty accomplished artist. He did this exact very same thing that he did for us. He did that for the Beatles.
No kidding.
He transcribed their songs into pictures for them.
Did any of the Beatles songs have a hand with teeth and a tongue?
Maybe. I'm sure the pictures are crazy looking.
They are weird.
I thought
lost Brandon. He's gone over the edge.
Check it out. That hand is way more bark than bite.
Well, I hope
it's a closer friend than it seems.
Have you ever seen the record cover? Ever seen the record cover for Captain Fantastic by Elton John?
Sure, yeah, sure.
He did that, and that's kind of kidding. It's kind of a good example of what his art looks like. And that guy's effed up.
I like
he's
that.
A good dude to know, man.
Yeah. He's an insanely like amazing artist, and we were very honored to have him.
That must be one of the fun things about being in a band like yours that's pretty well respected and well known, is that your universe.
We're very well respected.
Well, you are
highly critically acclaimed, by the way, too.
I'm saying that you do intersect with other, you know, talented people in the art world, in the music world. It's gotta be satisfying for you to have the opportunity to work with a guy like that.
To me, that's the coolest thing. That's one of the coolest parts about like being in a band is the opportunity to work with other artists in different mediums. You know, like making videos with Floria Sigismondi was like the coolest thing. That I think she's one of the most talented visual artists that I've seen in a long time.
You don't have to tell me, man. If I knew who she was, I would be right there with you.
She did the video for our video for Megalomaniac and our video for Talk Shows on Mute.
Cool.
She's highly, highly talented. Really, really cool lady.
I got to tell you, working here at K-Rock, we are so excited when bands like yours come out with a new CD, and it's great.
Thank you.
And we know we're going to be able to play music from it because it means we can play one less Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
No offense intended.
I'm just saying it's so great to have a band that we love come out with new music that's great.
Please, my friend, you can't say that.
No, we love
them.
We love them too.
We've heard enough
of Stadium Arcadium for this year. That's all we're saying. We're happy to be able to turn our attention elsewhere.
From their perspective, too, that's a good problem.
Yeah, that's all we're saying. Mm. Anyway, Incubus is back, ladies and gentlemen. You've been waiting for a long time. The new CD in stores and available for download today, and you can see the band with us on Saturday night, December the 9th, at Gibson Amphitheater for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. Tickets have not yet gone on sale for that, but we will have details for you Thursday morning on the Kevin Amin Show on how you can buy that. And guys, will there be an Incubus tour, I imagine, probably in 2007?
Yes, in January. Yes.
We're going to be in L.A., what, February? Mid-February?
Yeah, L.A. is the last stop of the tour.
Wow, you're touring much shorter than you used to, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just, you know, we're...
1 month tour, and then they're going to take off another year.
We're flying. Yes.
That's the plan.
Well, this is fantastic. The new CD is Light Grenades, or whatever being called it. And like he says, you can pick it up today. Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Us.
You bet.
Lisa May is drowning in her own juices right now. She's so happy.
He's so dreamy. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I love him.
I know you do. Time for traffic and then the showbiz beat. What's going on, Lisa?
The update is brought to you by Panda Express. There is a wreck on the South 605 before Rose Hills in the City of Industry. There were some injuries involved. It's in the final clearing stages, but traffic is definitely heavy as you come away from Arrow Highway. Vehicle fire wrapping up on the 210 westbound before Lowell. Still seeing some brake lights from about Sierra Madre across the hill. On the 10 westbound, the San Bernardino Freeway just beyond Baldwin Avenue. Broken down van in the number 3 lane. It's slow from Pacific, stays heavy on out to New Avenue. Mostly sunny today, highs in the upper 50s and the low 60s. Try the new Mongolian beef, chicken, or shrimp at Panda Express with white button mushrooms, red peppers, and scallions in a savory sauce. Taste it today at Panda Express. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sure.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Surprise!
I was talking to Mike about. Well, pay
not
attention
problem,
over
my
here.
My pleasure.
Less him, more us.
Okay, sorry.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Ah, Pamela Anderson, Kid Rock have filed for divorce, and the funniest part for me is listening to our own radio station K Rock play commercials for Extra, the tabloid TV show that say tonight Pam Anderson talks about her plans to have children with Kid Rock.
Oh, oh no!
Guess they didn't have a chance to get and edit that commercial before they sent it out on the air.
So awesome.
Made me laugh. I'll be checking out Extra tonight to see them go. I'm a humma. Apparently, three marriages wasn't enough for Kid and Pam. They had three weddings. Didn't make it stick.
Should have had another one.
Irreconcilable differences is what they're both claiming. They filed the court papers almost simultaneously, although they have different dates for when they say they actually separated.
Hmm.
According to the New York Post, it was a screening of Borat that was the last straw for Kid Rock. He saw the film and thought that she humiliated herself by doing the movie.
That's weird.
It is weird and kind of insulting.
Thought she looked came off looking bad in the film, which I
and he's wrong about that. By the way,
completely wrong.
Because Borat worshipped her the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's a good sport. Played along. Was very funny.
He was very angry when his producer was having a hand party at her pictures. I know that much. Soiled Pamela.
It's funny, Ralph, because the guys from Incubus came in and they saw, I guess we had an article laying around the studio about them break it up. And Brandon and Mike said, I didn't even know they were married. They're already divorced. I didn't even know they got married, Pam and Kid Rock.
We just didn't have a chance to get used to it. What a drag. A lot of people asking me, where can I go to get the photos of Britney Spears' cooter? We talked about that about an hour ago, and as you can imagine, people are losing their minds because they want to see.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was looking at them.
Yes.
just to make sure I was sending the right information to our
research. Of course.
And I think they're real. I really think they're real now.
I kind of do.
Because it dawned on me, and I did a little work myself with the zoom in factor of my editing software for photos. You can see the C-section scar.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how I think it's the real deal.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Yeah. So if you're interested in seeing those photos unabashedly displayed without the editing, you can go to egotastic.com is the name of the website. Egotastic.com. They've got all the photos right there. Of course, our entertainment news source on the web is TMZ.com, and they just sent me a breaking news story. Tracy Morgan, star of 30 Rock over there on NBC, has been busted for drunk driving in New York early this morning. Police tell TMZ that he was stopped at 4:38 a.m. in the Bronx driving erratically. Nobody is driving in the Bronx at 4:38 a.m. without doing something bad. I'll tell you that much. He was unable to maintain a position in a lane of traffic, the police say, which is a very polite way of saying kind he was all over the place.
Yeah.
He was charged with drunk driving while intoxicated, and this is his second drunk driving arrest. He's currently on probation for one here in Los Angeles, and now has one in New York, which means he could face jail time both here and in New York if he gets convicted on this one.
Oh, those blacks.
Yeah. And more good news I bring you in the showbiz world. Apparently there's a Jessica Simpson sex tape.
Is that right?
Talk about people you want to see in a celebrity sex tape.
As long as she keeps her mouth closed. Who with it? Who with?
With her husband, Nick Lachey.
Fantastic. Really?
Yep.
Is it out?
According to this source, the tape was made while Jessica was married to ex-husband Nick Lachey and shows them enjoying many different acts of love. The home movie is said to show ex-husband Nick and Jessica in lots of different positions, they're claiming.
I disagree with Kevin. I hope we don't see her with her mouth closed only.
Brat.
I'm not a brat.
You're a spoiled brat.
I am not. I'm a nice girl.
You're a bratty girl.
I treat you very nice. I hate you right now.
Boo freaking hit. You know what? Sob, sob, sob. There's always something wrong. Whatever I do, there's always something wrong.
Baby, would you stop saying
no.
God.
How did the tape get out, Ralph? How do we now know about it?
Well, according to Britain's Daily Sport newspaper, the tape fell into the hands of the individuals responsible for leaking the Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee sex video.
It just fell into those hands?
Well, someone got it to them. And this story claims that they're threatening to release the tape if Jessica doesn't pay an undisclosed sum of money to keep it out of public domain.
So they're blackmailing her.
Basically.
How do these tapes just get out?
Well, someone obviously knows what it is.
Well, there's only probably two people who had it.
Sends it to them.
No, Lisa, here's the thing. When these people, and you saw it even when you're watching the Newlywed show, they're surrounded by so many people all the time that are in their home and in their business, assistants and people who are working there and people who work when they...
So you think it was stolen?
Crews, you know, the crew that was in there following them 24 hours a day for 3 years of their lives. Sure. Who know what they saw or found when they were snooping around the house? I mean, there's so many people in and out of these people's lives that I think it's very easy for something like that to get picked up.
Plus, Nick's brother, Drew, is shady as hell.
Yeah, him and his Dancing with the Stars BS. I don't know what that's all about. So here's hoping that Jessica doesn't cough up the money and we get to see some of that.
I'm just a white girl who can't dance. I can only push my tush.
Down by the cement pond eating possum stew with Granny.
Headbutt her. Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Schaefer, leader of the band over on Letterman. He's 56 years old today. Ed Harris, very talented actor, 55 years old today. Has he ever won an Oscar? Did he win for Pollock?
I don't think so.
No?
I
don't think so either. 55 years old. Judd Nelson from The Breakfast Club and many other
no Oscar
TV
for him.
Shows and movies. 47 years old today. Anna Nicole Smith, who if you're missing her, you can see her on ET tonight with Pat O'Brien talking about her baby. Watching her change diapers. It's good times.
Yeah.
And Jon Stewart, host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central, one of our favorites. He's 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, all I'm saying about our pal Jimmy Kimmel is that he could have called. Would it have killed him? He's in town just to pick up the phone. Bean, hey, I'm in town for Monday Night Football to see the Seahawks. Let's hook up. Let's hang out.
Can I finish that conversation? No, not so much. Okay,
yeah,
thanks, bye.
He knows what's going to happen.
He's not stupid. He worked with you for 5 years. He knows there's not a chance in 1 million years you will do anything with him.
Lisa, if you were coming to Seattle for the night, you'd call and say, hey, I'm coming to Seattle, right?
Just so I could be rejected? I don't think so.
No.
You wouldn't. You would not hang out with me.
You've trained us is what's wrong with us. If I were there, I wouldn't think once about calling you.
No.
I mean, it wouldn't even cross my mind.
I might come down to say hi.
No, you've trained us. Come on.
Anyway, Jimmy Kimmel was in the booth with the guys from ESPN last night. He stopped by, of course, Jimmy Kimmel, the host of his own late night show on ABC Channel 7 and ESPN, part of the ABC family, doing a little cross promotion. He's actually in the booth in the second quarter of the Seahawks game, which they won over Green Bay, 34-24. Very funny when Jimmy stops by.
7-6 here in Seattle is a familiar face, Jimmy Kimmel, of ABC late night show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and a huge football fan.
I love football, and this is the best. This is exciting. And being here, it's snowing. I've never been to a game where it's snowed before. Brett Favre is here. Let me tell you something. John Madden would have loved this if he was alive today.
John is alive.
Oh, he is alive.
Did you not see the game?
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Well, you know how John Madden loves the Brett Favre. Poor guy. If he were still with us today, he would have had a good time last night. And then I thought this was the question that nobody had really asked in 20 years. But Joe Theismann, former Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Washington Redskins, one of the most famous leg injuries in television history, is in the booth for ESPN. And Jimmy's got a question for him.
Well, I tell you what, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I enjoy hearing you every week. And I really feel like I shouldn't interrupt. You guys go ahead.
Second and 9 from the 19. This booth is all about interrupting.
Oh, okay.
Go anytime you want. Green.
Yeah, just take yourself at home.
See? Daryl Tapp for the third straight play.
Joe, how's your leg?
Thank you for asking, Jimmy. It was 21 years ago, but it's still attached.
Well, I haven't had a chance to ask you about it.
In 21 years. Yeah, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear.
Did you live here for a while in Seattle?
I did. I lived here for 10 months. It was my first radio job. I was fired almost immediately.
Somewhere out there, there's a radio program director who fired Jimmy Kimmel and now goes home every night and sees Jimmy hosting his own national network talk show.
And yet, I think he made the right decision.
I think you're probably right. That's Jimmy from last night on the ESPN.
Now we must talk about what time of year it is.
Yes.
Time to find a new Miss Double December.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
That's right, they're breasts.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my penis is hard.
Start your boners.
Start your boners. All right. Miss Double December, we do it each year. You send in pictures. We're going to do this through Friday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
You send in your picture. Then we put up the top 10, and I think we're discussing putting up the bottom 10 as well.
Oh, really?
That would be mean.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Some of the comments I heard in the studio today as you guys were picking apart those photos.
Come on. That's evil.
And funny.
These girls are really putting it out there, by the way.
And most of them we're going to get rave reviews. Don't worry about that.
Now, here's the deal. If you've never heard about what Miss Double December is all about, you represent the Kevin and Bean Show. We have come to the conclusion, it didn't take us long, that we're not much to look at. And people show up at our live appearances, say singles parties and CD signings and acoustic Christmas and stuff like that. And people meet us and they go, oh, yeah. So we have Miss Double December there, and all of a sudden they go, Oh. So it makes the whole show look good if you look good.
So that's why we do it. Face it, we understand that it's bogus and that it's pathetic, but, you know, send in your pictures anyway. You can go to the K-Rock website, go to the Kevin and Bean page, send in your photos, like we said, through Friday at 5, and then on Monday of next week, you guys get to vote and tell us who is Miss Double December.
There's a short questionnaire on there. We need some pertinent details about you. 21 and over, please. You know, we need to know how to get in contact with you. And there's a short questionnaire so we get a little bit of an idea about your personality. But the deadline is Friday at 5, and then the voting is all next week. And, you know, the beautiful thing for you is you get to come to all the stuff. I mean, if K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas sounds good to you and you've got huge hoots, it sounds like you ought to send them in to us.
You mean send in the hoots or just a picture?
No, just a photo in hopes of being selected as Miss Double December 2007.
And we need to know what you look like naked. That's just one of the generic things that we have to throw in every year.
Can't they put in a bathing suit or something?
Yeah, well, that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Go to KROQ.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and you can enter, like we said, through Friday at 5 o'clock on the World Famous Kevin. Right now, it's time for a little public service.
Wherever there are personal listening devices, you cannot avoid the big ears of the law. It's Officer Psycho Mike with the iPod Police.
Let's talk about the iPod Police. This is a job that we send Psycho Mike out to do.
Howdy.
And
Howdy.
Howdy.
Wow.
I'm back in your play, Mike.
We need the greetings police. So Psychobite goes out and he finds people that are listening to their iPods. And it's our theory, and it's been proven so far, that all of us put things on our iPods that we wouldn't necessarily want everybody else to know about.
Right.
Songs or artists that we like to listen to, and we can listen to them in our headphones, and nobody else knows that we enjoy that kind of music necessarily.
It's just like looking through somebody's CD collection. Yes. Everybody has their guilty pleasures.
Yes.
It's so much fun, too, because it doesn't automatically show up on your iPod. You have to consciously put it on your iPod. You have to actually take the CD or download the song right. or album and actually, you know, put it on your iPod intentionally. And I love, there's nothing I love more than being on an airplane and seeing everybody with their iPods. And and you probably do the same thing, Kevin. You try to see what's on the screen. You try to see what it is they're listening to. And it's just fascinating to find out what people are listening to. I was on an airplane ride last week, as you guys know, from the CD signing. And there was a guy sitting a couple rows away from me who was listening to a Peebo Bryson album. Now, this guy is an R&B singer from like the 80s or something who has a Peebo Bryson album on their iPod in 2006. Even if once in a while you hear one of those songs on the radio and go, oh, that song's okay, how would you ever put that on your iPod? And it's from that inherent interest that we have in everybody else's music collection that the iPod Police was born.
Yeah, you know, and once I got back from Nam, I knew I had to dedicate myself to something, and it was justice.
You
didn't go to Nam. Wait a second.
Right.
And
where did you find these people?
Well, all over. And my job as in the iPod Police is not only to keep the streets safe, but also to come here and give you people, the listeners, an idea of what not to do,
okay.
what to watch out for.
What's acceptable, what's not.
Exactly. Okay. First example is a young man I met. He was kind of weathered and dark from years of a nomadic lifestyle. I found him at a bus stop in Norwalk.
Okay.
And I could tell just by looking at him that something was up.
Just curious what you're listening to on your iPod.
Who are you?
My name's Mike. I'm with the iPod Police.
Yeah, I like your uniform, Mike. My name's Paul. How are you? Those are nice clothes you got on there, pal.
I know, sweet.
Yeah.
I think they bring out the color of my eyes. I was just curious what you're listening to.
Hall & Oates.
Are you drinking?
Oh, yeah, I have Whoa, Here She Comes.
Big Hall & Oates fan?
Yeah, what's that Whoa, Here She Comes song? Got some Blondie and shit. Some Police, you know, 80s. I got 80s hits that I used to buy on the TV late night, the infomercials, 80s hits.
Are you under the influence, sir?
I already told you I was. Is that a problem?
We at the iPod Police encourage that.
Oh, good. So you're not like real police?
No.
Cool.
Not even close.
He's so baked.
The guy was so out of his mind. I sat and talked with that guy for like 40 minutes. He's the best. Drunk bums rip. Now,
I like that you had to keep asking if he was drunk or under the influence.
Yeah.
After he said
Well,
yes.
He kept on singing to me. I didn't ask him to give me, you know, the karaoke versions of what he had on his iPod.
Mike, if looking at the guy, and then if somebody had asked you to guess what he was listening to, how far down your list would Maneater by Hall & Oates is the one he had on?
Really far. Exactly.
Who would ever have thought that?
I thought he would have had like Freedom Rock. That guy was definitely listening to Nugent or something. He was just out of his mind, long-haired bum. So the next guy I talked to is phony buff guy at the gym with the sleeveless, and I you know.
So it's kind of like you're...
Yeah, and I just see him bobbing, moving his head. So I knew that as an officer of the law, I needed to approach this perp.
I'm listening to some house music, one of the best DJs in the world. His name is Eric Morello, and I'm going to flip it over to Dip Dish, and that's how I do, man. It's great music, energy music.
I understand that, but I'm going to have to write you up. Listening to music with no actual instruments.
Just smoking on some
Class 3 misdemeanor.
Look, man, I'm talking. When I'm talking, don't talk to me.
You want me to add your charges, assaulting an officer?
I just take care of business, man, because, you know, that's how I do.
That's how you do?
That's how I do.
Yeah, I'm also going to need to take you in on 3 counts of wigging.
So it's a Class 3 misdemeanor. I didn't realize that.
And like I said, I'm doing my service here to listeners. You need to understand that I can get you for multiple charges. Don't make things worse by arguing with me.
Yeah.
Okay?
That is always a bad idea.
I got a job to do. This next guy, listen, okay. I want you to understand, and I'm going to dig deep into your iPod. Okay. And I'm a seasoned veteran.
Right.
Don't try to put one over on me. I know what's going down.
Why do you have Les Mis?
It's because you wanted to put smart person music on your iPod so that if a girl came across it, she'd think you were smart.
No, it was actually, I was in drama.
Do you have it on there to impress women in case they come across your iPod?
It's, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things that snuck on there.
You can take this up with the iPod courts, and you can file an appeal under Gabeous Corpus.
Gabeous Corpus?
You're an asshole.
I'm sorry?
You're an asshole.
Well, that is true. Hey, Mike, anyone who was in drama and is listening to Les Mis is not trying to impress ladies.
That's what
okay?
I thought, too. Yeah. He's not trying to any girls, not interested.
Well, although Lisa would have been impressed, by the way, had she met
I
that
would
dude.
Have, yeah.
Yeah, but we're just saying he wasn't interested in impressing girls.
That
yeah.
perp right. in particular had a collection of really good music, and wedged in there was the Les Mis.
He said yes. snuck on there.
Yeah, he said snuck.
Because sometimes that music, man, you don't want it on your iPod.
Like I said, don't try to play that with me. Huh? I've been around the block. You know right. what I'm saying?
It's really best, just like when you get pulled over on the highway, it's just best to admit your crimes to the police officer. Don't try to give him a song and dance just to say, yeah, I'm guilty. I did it.
You're right, officer. I was going 90 miles an hour.
Exactly.
I apologize.
Throw yourself on the mercy of the iPod police.
Now, this last perp. Oh, Glendale. Oh, city of Glendale. You've been so good to me in the iPod police. Older Armenian man at a bus stop, and he just looked like a type of guy that was foreign and old and from a generation where he wouldn't even know how to work an iPod.
Right.
So I was just curious to find out what was going on in that guy's machine.
Excuse me, sir.
Hello.
I'm with the iPod police. It's a division of Homeland Security. I'm just wanting to know what you're listening to, just checking up on you.
Why? Why you want to know?
Look, it comes with the job, dude. I'm sorry. I was just wondering what you're listening to.
Joseph Krikorian.
What's that?
Joseph Krikorian.
What is it?
It's Armenian music.
Yeah, are you Armenian?
Yes.
I should have guessed because even your iPod was hairy.
Fuck you, man.
Oh.
That was so mad.
Even your iPod was hairy. Here's what I like about Psycho Mike. He laughs at his own jokes more than anyone else could possibly.
I know. I got that from my grandpa. I should really figure out a way to get away from
no,
that.
No, that's good. That's yeah. what you want to do is out-laugh everyone else at your own stuff.
Yeah. So, population of Glendale, my email's bean@krock.com.
Excellent.
Glad to hear that.
Be warned, citizens. You never know who could be listening when you're listening to gay music. This has been the iPod Police.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
What? You two are getting a little too close over there on that side of the room. I don't know. Some sort of lover's
love
playfulness
hate.
Going yeah. on over there, too. You want to wear my headphones? Oh. No, you want to hear my headphones?
I was mocking him for something he did yesterday that
broke back radio over there.
they were cupping each other lovingly a moment ago before you walked in, too, Ralph.
It's noodling, I think.
Time for Kevin and Bean's.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you talk about anything that you want, and you get a prize.
And today it's a pair of tickets to the International Motorcycle Show at the Long Beach Convention Center, December 8th through the 10th. Plus, we'll throw in two tickets to see Warren Miller's new film called Off the Grid. Please enjoy.
A motorcycle show in Long Beach? Who could have been responsible for getting us that prize?
I can't imagine.
For What It Do, Nephew.
Maybe... No, not
like motorcycle. Doc.
Who's there?
Lightning sucks. Oh,
okay. Good morning, David. Hello?
I choked my nephew out.
Oh, this is Gil. Hang up on him.
Gil on the phone.
Because it doesn't say it's Gil.
It said it was David acting as our Miss Double D agent. Okay. Sorry. We lost
him.
I don't know what to do. Sometimes it just drops.
There's damn cell towers.
Why, Gil? Why?
Dude, I'm telling you, that's not what it said. Although I would have put it on if it was. All right, let's go to Noe.
Yeah, that's Noe.
Hi, Noe.
What is your nephew?
What it do to you, Noe?
Hey, I was wondering, this whole Paris Hilton and Britney Spears thing, it could actually be a good thing, because you could only imagine the home videos that have come out of these two.
Maybe we'd get a sex tape out of them?
Exactly.
I'll tell you, it gets better. I didn't realize it, but apparently they're running in a threesome, because Lindsay Lohan's also hanging out with them, too.
Oh, there you go.
Three girls are all best friends now.
Hanging out with Paris Hilton?
Going everywhere. Paris, Britney, and Lindsay. Lindsay was trying to cover her up when she was getting out of the car, flashing her beeb to the world.
Why would she do that?
Wasn't there some sort of a showbiz story this week, Ralph, about Lindsay getting hit by Paris or some sort of scuffle or altercation or something?
I think it was just rough sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go.
Do you guys think that Britney feels like, hey, I've been holed up with as a married woman looking after my kids for the past couple of years, and now I'm single. I want to go to all the best parties and be seen everywhere and look great and meet celebrities.
Should have thought that before I started having kids.
Yeah, so who do you call? You call Paris if you want to be on that A-list, and that's what she's doing, it looks like.
A-hole list.
Let's go to Oscar. Good morning, Oscar. What it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do, nephew, baby boo?
Hey, Oscar.
I know how you guys like sex toys and hot teachers and underage kids, so what about Alyssa Johnson? Let's give her a big hand out in Mission Viejo.
What happened?
Oh, she got busted having sex with one of her students.
Spectacular.
Another new one?
A new hot chick?
Yeah, her name's Alyssa Johnson. She looked pretty cute in her mugshot, too.
I hadn't heard about this. How old was the teacher and how old was the student?
The teacher was, I don't know, but the student was 13 years old at Tribuco School in Mission Viejo.
I don't know, 13's a little young.
Nah.
That's not high school.
Nah.
I saw this on South Park recently.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh, my God!
Can I tell you what he said?
Terrible. You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy is having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice. Has she performed oral sex on him?
I think so.
Nice.
Nice.
So wait, what's the crime?
The crime is she isn't doing it with me.
Ain't that the truth?
Here's the story from the LA Times, by the way. Mission Viejo teacher, she's 31 years old, Tribuco Hills High School, and apparently it was known as a substantial sexual relationship with one of her students. That went on for a long time.
And he's 13?
And he's 13, yeah.
How long could be going on? He's got to be
14. It says, according to this article in the LA Times, and of course they don't identify the victims of sex crimes, the student is older than 14 and younger than 18 and has known Johnson for a few years, according to the LA Times. This picture, she's not even in the top 10, by the way, of the hot female teachers that we've seen involved in stories like this.
Nothing like Florida?
No, nothing like the chick in Florida.
And
I mean,
yet,
let's face it.
I'm guessing the student's complaining.
Yet, yeah, of course. And yet, she didn't look anything like any of my teachers. Yeah,
exactly.
All 90 words.
Yeah, and if you're 15, you'd hit it. I'm not
nothing
saying
like
that.
Like Mrs. Glasgow when I was in high school with her tissue stuffed up her sleeve.
I had a teacher like that, too.
You had a tissue? You had a sleeve, sleeve stuffer?
I had Mrs. Gangness.
A sleeve stuffer?
Yes. Yeah. She'd blow her nose and then roll it inside her sleeve.
Yeah. At least my Mrs. Gene Simmons.
Oh, no,
speaking
Gene.
Of stuffing sleeves.
We don't
okay, that's fine, Gene. That's fine.
I got thrown out of school for laughing at Mrs. Gangness when we were playing dodgeball.
Mrs. Gangus.
Mrs. Gangness. Guy, good morning.
Genghis Khan.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What a do, nephew?
What a do, baby do.
Hey, Guy.
What's going on?
What do you got for us?
What you got?
So, I'm actually flipping through my channels and on Dish Network, and I ran into this channel, an amazing channel.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Jenna. It's Jenna Jameson Porn all day, 24 hours. It's basically a channel that either features Jenna Jameson or is produced or directed by Jenna Jameson.
The Jenna channel.
I knew she was going to have a show. I didn't know she was having a whole channel.
Well, okay.
A whole channel on Dish Network.
It's a great country.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad our listeners are hearing about this because now when you're at a holiday party and somebody says, man, there's just nothing good on TV, you can say, have you heard?
How quickly would my TiVo fill up if I had the Jenna channel, by the way?
Probably a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Jason, who is calling us. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, he's calling us. That's how he got to us on the phone.
Oh, good. He's calling us.
Psycho Mike has not figured out how to give me the city that they're calling from.
Compton.
It's been like 2 days now. Jason in Compton. Hi. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What's
hey,
going
Jason.
On?
Hey,
Lisa, me.
Yes. What's going on in Compton, Jason?
Jason, that's not the end of the conversation. We're hoping that you'll then pick it up and run with whatever it is
about. Hey, guys. Hey. Last night for my birthday, I went to see Alice in Chains at the Wiltern.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Uh-huh.
It was tight.
It was what?
Tight.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Fosheezy.
What's this? Sorry, not so much with that, Jason. What's this new dude's name, this new lead singer who's replaced Lean Staley, who everybody says is just terrific with the band?
Oh, he is amazing. You know, he actually kind of looked a little bit like Lenny Kravitz, to be honest with you. His name's William Duvall.
William Duvall, that's right. That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He it was kind of scary how much he sounded like Staley. And,
yeah, is that their goal was to find somebody that sounded just like him, or does he have his own style?
Someone similar, I think they wanted.
No, yeah, he sounds very similar, but he takes a lot of the songs on his own. I'm a big Alice in Chains fan. I have been for years. I was supposed to see him back in '94 when they played with Metallica, and I went to that show, but Lane Staley had some drug problems, and
no, what?
Yeah.
What? Wait a minute, Lane Staley? Oh, how dare you?
Yeah,
I wondered if Alice in Chains fans would accept this incarnation of the band, because let's face it, you wouldn't go see Nirvana if they went out on the road with another lead singer. I mean, sometimes the lead singer
depends on
important.
Who it is.
Well,
is it Federline?
It's Federline.
Federline, yeah, of course.
Weigh in.
I was just a little bit surprised, but this show, this tour, this Alice in Chains tour is just selling out all over the country. Apparently, there are a lot of people out there who just wanted to see those songs live again, and they're going for it.
Yep. Thank you, Jason, for the call. Let's go to PJ. Good morning, PJ. What to do, nephew?
What to do?
Sorry, what to do, baby boo?
You know what? I'm calling on immigration.
Oh, excellent. Let's get into that now at 9:51.
Right. We can solve that by the time Gad gets here.
Or against it?
I've been married to a guy for over 2 years.
Right.
And as soon as he got his green card, he left me and my daughter.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
That's hilarious.
No, it's not.
Wow, he's quite an actor. Did you know? Do that for 2 years.
Did you know he was marrying you just for his green card?
The whole thing is I was married with him for 5 years, and then there's a two-year period where you have to be with somebody in order to get your green card.
You have to live together as man and wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then he waited the two-year period. A week after he found out he was approved, he abandoned me and my daughter.
Nice. Is that his daughter, too?
Excuse me?
Is that his daughter as well?
Yeah, it's his daughter as well.
Did you know this going into it? Was this an arrangement where you were helping him get his green card?
No, I wasn't helping him. I was in it for the love, the relationship. And, you know, his family knows he was using me, apparently. They were in it all along.
Yeah.
They were playing the role. And, you know, as soon as I went to the INS to turn in his green card, I reported that. Because, you know what, there's been a lot more cases than just me that women, or men, actually,
sure,
both have been used just for green cards. And it sucks real bad.
PJ?
Yes.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Stop it.
So it's not his fault is what we're saying.
Exactly. Did what he had to do.
Let's go to Ashley, who is calling, I think, about the Mission Viejo teacher. Good morning, Ashley.
Hello.
Whatever with PJ's problems, let's talk about sex with teachers.
Let's go back to the teacher that's having sex with a student.
What do you know about Miss Johnson in Mission Viejo?
She was one of my high school teachers. She's not an intermediate school teacher. She's a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, she was.
Right.
Okay.
Did she ever hit on you?
No, you know what? Somebody else asked me the same thing. She didn't hit on me, but she's not the hottest shade of pink in the crayon box.
Right.
But she was one of the cuter ones at school. She's definitely one of the heartthrobs of all the guys.
For a teacher, she's fine.
She was the most available teacher hot pink crayon.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you just
said. Did you say she was the hottest shade of pink in the crayon box?
She wasn't.
She wasn't the hottest, yes. That's what she said.
That's the greatest phrase I've ever heard.
Ashley, when you heard the story, beyond the shock of, hey, I know that person, were you surprised that she was involved in something like this, or did this kind of play into your expectations?
Kind of. I mean, this is honestly not the first time that one of the Tribeco Hills High School teachers has been arrested for suspicions of sex with a student. This is the second one.
What
the hell's going on down there in Mission Viejo?
Was the other one hot?
I guess we have hot teachers. I don't know. The one before was she had sex with one of the football players. This is like, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago. She was a hot blonde teacher.
That's it. I'm going back to school in Mission Viejo.
Could you call me later with the same story and just say it to me really slowly?
Ashley, thank you very much for the call. We only have time for one more. Let's go to Kim in Chatsworth.
What's
wrong button there? She's on line three.
What the hell should I do to you? You're calling her an asshat. You
haven't talked to her yet.
I think she's filing a complaint about Kevin Abede's Super Christmas. That's my fear with this call.
Uh-oh.
Kim, good morning.
Hey, Kim.
Hey.
I was driving around on Sunday night, and I thought my daughter was dead asleep in the car, so I was listening to the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank
you. Monday morning, my daughter woke up and started my 3-year-old started running around the house screaming, I'm super whore, I'm super whore.
Oh, wow.
That is a heartwarming Christmas story.
And I'm like, no, right baby, there. They're not saying whore, they're saying door, super door. She's like, no, it's whore, I'm super whore.
Wait a minute.
Even your 3-year-old knows what a dumbass cover that was.
Wait a minute.
Super door.
You said it was door and you expect her to buy it?
She actually did, like 2 hours later, and then she pretended to be a door the rest of the day.
I'm super door. Now everybody just thinks your kid is dumb.
See, the
Get that kid in a special class. She thinks she's a door.
Kim, why would you let your 3-year-old hear the Kevin and Bean Christmas CD?
I thought she was asleep in the back of the car. It was like midnight.
So at midnight, you're driving around with your 3-year-old sleeping in the back of your car. Our bad. You're an excellent parent.
Hey, yourself.
You're driving around. Your kid should be in bed at midnight.
Here's the little bit of that.
She's the slut-tastic super whore.
Wherever she goes, someone she b***h. She's the super whore, and she likes it in the rear.
I hope your daughter was saying that part as well.
No, she was not.
No, okay. No, just the super whore
I'm
part.
I'm a super door. I like to be in a threshold with a knob.
Thank you, Kim.
Mommy, what's a whore?
Super door.
I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean show today, including director, actor Kevin Smith. A lot going on with our pal Kevin Smith, by the way. You can meet him this afternoon and get a bunch of DVDs signed starting at 4 o'clock at Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, which is in Westwood. Where is that, Ralph, for folks? I don't have the exact address.
In on Westwood Boulevard, on right? Westwood Boulevard, yeah. You can't miss it.
Across right down from the Chili's, he said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to be down there with Jason and a bunch of other guys from Clerks 2, which comes out on DVD today. Also, An Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder, comes out on DVD today. So, very excited about Kevin. Also, I want to thank the members of Incubus, Brandon and Mike, for joining us today. Their new CD is in stores. It is called Light Grenades. And, of course, you can see Incubus coming up on the first night of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. And one more thing to mention, by the way, because last week we put up at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section, we put up both of the Clipper songs that we've been playing here on the show. I just got my first word back. There's a way that you can listen to Dave the King of Mexico's Clipper song and also our friend Petros Papadakis' Clipper song and then vote on which one you like best. And apparently the King is leading the voting right now.
Wow.
59-41% right now.
Ooh, it's neck and neck.
Have they
59-41.
Have they not heard his song?
Well, they listen to a song. You go to the website and you listen to his Clipper song and then you listen to the P's Clipper song and then you vote on which one you like the best.
And Dave's still ahead?
Dave is still ahead. Yes, he is.
Some people are just blind voting, I guess.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have time really for that. But you can go to the website and vote on that if you want to. There's that one, and then there's also...
I'm in love with the Clipper.
Oh, come on, people. Use your brains.
Dave's walking around all day long today going, the Clippers are going to play Sacramento tonight. They're going to beat the Kings.
And he's basing that on their performance in their last three games?
Well, I don't know what he's basing that on.
Tomorrow morning, we got a brand new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to tell you about great Christmas gifts, including the one-minute drink chiller, the stargazing lazy chair, and the hot diggity dogger. All fantastic Christmas gifts.
Why do you hate the one-minute drink chiller so much? Because I'm getting that for you for Christmas. That's why I want to know why you're ragging on it all the time.
It can't possibly work.
We use ice to make drinks cold.
They say it makes it colder than the fridge, 90 times faster than the fridge. Yeah. And all they use is ice and water.
It's not possible.
Not possible.
I'm with Kevin.
But it's a fantastic item.
No, it's not. If it doesn't work.
But if
you pull
it
a case of sodas out of your garage or something, you haven't had time to put them in the fridge, you just pop it in here and it just piles it right down.
Yes, we understand the concept. If it worked, it would be awesome.
I don't know why you hate technology.
Why are you in such a hurry, by the way, to drink warm sodas? I pulled it out of the garage and I must drink it now. That's just poor planning on your part. It's not my problem at this
point. Plus, there's something that high-tech called ice. You can put in a cup.
Need to chill it in a machine of some kind. It does it in a minute.
Also, tomorrow we're going to talk to Bob Dylan about his satellite radio show.
Good.
We have a way that you can finally check your email while driving.
Oh, thank God.
Good news for
I know when I leave the station, it's about a 15-minute drive home, and I have got to update myself on the way home.
Sure.
Because my email is so important.
There's that prince from Nigeria who has to send you some money, and you have to make sure you get that.
Also, tomorrow we have a huge thing from our lawyers that have sent it to us. It's called Words Hurt and Harm.
They do. Words hurt, man.
A primer for on-air talent and programming personnel, how to develop greater awareness of and learn to avoid the use of racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs.
Oh, we're in trouble.
I sure wish you hadn't mentioned today that we were planning on doing that tomorrow, because I have a feeling there's a meeting now that's going to be called, Kevin.
Well, I didn't mean we were going to do it tomorrow.
No, that one goes under the radar a little bit until we actually do it.
We'll edit that out before we get on the air. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Dear God.
And the racist match game. Back to you.
All of that tomorrow morning on the Kevin Beach.
Good work, Kevin. That's when we fill one hole, you dig us another. Someone take the shovel out of Kevin's hand, please.
Seriously.
It's attached. It's been attached since birth.
Also, keep listening for Helena by My Chemical Romance, Be Color 20, when you hear it, to see them at Acoustic Christmas 2006 from the world-famous K-Rock. It's K-Rock QFM passing in Los Angeles, 40 minutes nonstop next, Death Cab for Cutie, also Stone Sour, Nine Inch Nails, The Killers, Incubus, and more right after this on K-Rock.